his own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Lou Miliano. Israeli artillery continues targeting Hezbollah strongholds in southern Lebanon. Hezbollah fighters continue launching waves of rockets, slamming them into Israeli border towns and cities, like Haifa, south on the coast. Where this three-story apartment house was destroyed, leaving nothing but smoking rubble to pick through to find survivors. CBS's Lara Logan is there.
This has been a day of terror for people here and all over northern Israel. Hezbollah rockets fired from Lebanon rained down on more than three dozen towns and cities, including this one, the third largest city in Israel.
Israeli officials say this isn't another of the cyclical confrontations, but this is war with an end. CBS News correspondent Dan Raviv's in Tel Aviv.
There's no hint of compromise. Prime Minister Ehud Olmert told Parliament that the battle will continue with more sacrifices and pain, but it's necessary, he said, to fight for freedom and a normal life. He blamed the axis of evil, borrowing a phrase from President Bush, Iran, and Syria, for supporting terrorists. Olmert didn't seem at all open to a ceasefire until Hezbollah moves out of southern Lebanon near the border and releases two Israeli soldiers captured last week.
And John Bolton, the U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, agrees.
It stands to reason that until that initial act of terrorism is reversed, that Israel's acting within its legitimate right of self-defense.
And they are counting the dead. So far, 170 in Lebanon, 24 in Israel, hundreds on both sides wounded and injured. It's Monday. Probably got to think about doing this to get through the week. Yep, fill her up at $2.99 a gallon. This is today's Federal Report on the average price of gasoline in the U.S. The highest since Katrina, 2 cents higher than last week, 67 cents higher than a year ago. But oil has dropped. Crude oil by the barrel settled in at $75.30. Recognize this? It's the Mike Hammer theme from the TV show. The creator of the Shoot 'Em Up, Sex and Violence Gumshoe, Mike Hammer, has died.
Well, Mike Hammer's a state of mind. It's not a character. You know, if you're short and fat and you've got a guy that's tall and skinny, it's hard to put yourself in that character. But anybody can be Mike. Just like anybody can pull the trigger of a gun and be a killer. But anybody could be Mike. I don't describe him. I've done it with all my major characters, too.
Mickey Spillane was 88. Trivia. First Hammer novel, I, the Jury, 1946. 12 more followed. In the markets, the Dow closed out in light trading at 8 points above. The Nasdaq was also up a fraction. Oil was down $1.73 to close out at $75.30. This is CBS News.
You, playing Texas Hold'em with Mozart, fairies, kings, queens, albino aardvarks, karaoke singing koalas, the Sun City kickball team, wearing flippers, Sasquatch and Nessie holding hands at sunset in the Grand Canyon. Dreams, they can be strange and magical, but if you can't sleep, you can't dream. So ask your doctor about Rosarum, a sleep aid like no other, approved for adults having trouble falling asleep. Rosarum is the first and only prescription sleep aid that in clinical studies shows no potential for abuse or dependence, so you can get to sleep, and maybe your dreams will get to see you again.
Don't take Rosarum if you're taking Luvox, Fluvoxamine, or have severe liver problems. Avoid taking it with alcohol. Don't drive or operate machinery until you know how you'll react to Rosarum. Rosarum may affect certain hormones. Consult your doctor about how this may affect you, or if you're insomnia doesn't improve. Take Rosarum right before bed. Side effects may include drowsiness, fatigue, and dizziness. Individual results may vary. Ask your doctor today if Rosarum is right for you. For more information, call 1-877-ROSARUM-1. See our ad in Prevention Magazine or visit Rosarum.com.
Swimming babies, dancing babies, singing babies.
Okay, yes, it's hot. It's dangerously hot in some areas. We've looked at precautions. Drink lots of water. Stay cool. Big city cooling centers, homeless shelters with the air cranked up or down, or the white flag hanging out. Steve Tower is a reporter in Philadelphia and headed into the Gotta keep it cold, guys.
Long sleeve sweater at Oaks Prime Meats in the Center City, Philadelphia Farmers Market because it's cold as a meat locker.
Well, we generally keep it around 38 degrees because our meat is fresh hanging meat. It's not cryovac. It's suitable for aging at that temperature.
Nearby at Bassett's Ice Cream, an original tenant in 1893, fifth generation owner Mike Strain serves his product at 0 to 5 and is banking on a few big days.
There is no doubt that hot weather increases ice cream consumption.
Make mine vanilla. Steve Tawa, CBS News, Philadelphia.
So about air conditioning, you have to worry about the electricity across California and 13 eastern states and Washington, D.C., being asked now to reduce electric usage. I'm Lou Malignano, CBS News.
Guess the number one vacation spot this summer.
The Strip in Vegas?
Nope, it's number 5.
Oh, okay, Disneyland.
Number 18.
Niagara Falls?
38.
How do you know all this?
Priceline's 50-50 hotel savings event. You can book a hotel at one of the top 50 vacation spots, name your own price, and save up to 50% off.
Ah, so what's number one?
You'll just have to go to Priceline and find out.
Priceline, more ways to save. Exact hotel shown only after purchase.
Net Zero, America's number one value-priced internet service, is only $9.95 a month, and there's no commitment and no credit card required. Signing up for Net Zero is so simple, you'll be online in minutes. Plus, Net Zero gives you powerful virus protection, and your service is backed by a connection guarantee. Join the millions of people who have switched to the internet service that ranks higher than AOL in customer satisfaction. Call 1-800-NET-ZERO or go to netzero.com.
All right, we'll go ahead. We've got the green light for another 3 hours of live, unscripted, unrehearsed telephone talk with some electric guitars, progressive viewpoints prominently featured. I am your humble host, Peter B. Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. On the Peter B. Collins Show today, about a half hour from now, we'll visit with Colonel Sam Gardner. He knows much more about the situation in the Middle East than I do. He's got his ears to the ground. He's well-connected. He retired from the Air Force as a colonel, and he's going to talk to us about what his sources say is the true meaning behind the military operations, the violence that broke out in the Middle East over the past 5 days. We'll get an update, the first of a daily feature now. We've decided that this will not be a 5 or 6 day war. And Chris Tonsing has agreed to join us every weekday at the top of our second hour with a brief update on what's going on in the Middle East. He is the editor of Middle East Report, and we're very fortunate to have him contributing daily to our program. Also on today's show, we're going to talk about the case for impeachment with Dave Lindorf. He is co-author with Barbara Olshansky of a book by that title. And there is a public meeting about impeachment coming up in Oakland with members of the Center for Constitutional Rights. We'll tell you all about it. And it's wide open in the free speech zone in our final hour today. We'll be taking your calls on any subject in the news or wherever else you find it. If you'd like to call the program, 831-899-5792 is our number on the Central Coast, or you can call me toll-free, 888-579-2540. And before we launch the show and get into our first guest, a personal note. 1 year ago this week, we launched the Peter B. Collins Show on KRXA 540 in Monterey. Over the past year, we've made many new friends, and we've grown. We're now on in 4 great cities in the West and ready to grow some more. Oozing eastward is the way I like to put it. And to celebrate our first anniversary, we're giving away a case of fine Central Coast wine from select vintners in Monterey County in the Santa Cruz Mountains, courtesy of our friends at Monterey Bay Wine Company. And if you'd like to enter, just drop me an email to peter@peterbcollins.com. Include your name, address, daytime phone, and indicate that you're at least 21 years of age so I don't get busted. And tell me your most memorable moment of the Peter B. Collins Show over the past year. One entry per person, please. And if email doesn't work for you, peter@peterbcollins.com, we'll take your snail mail entry, too. Box 100, Mill Valley, California, 94942. We'll hold the drawing and announce the winner on August 1st. Again, the P.O. Box is number 100, Mill Valley, California, 94942.
And I look forward to hearing from you as we celebrate and observe our first anniversary here on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's time to examine what the media did to us in the past week.
First they went and stole the election. The Supreme Court made the selection. The corporations gave the direction. They said Bush it.
Well, actually, Bush actually said it, too.
He went and hired his daddy's staff and a few guys from Nixon's just for a laugh.
We kick off the show every Monday with a representative of Media Matters for America. Their powerful website is a must to be bookmarked or added to your favorites, mediamatters.org. And today we got Paul Waldman, a senior fellow at Media Matters, and in his spare time, the author of the book, Being Right Is Not Enough, What Progressives Must Learn from Conservative Success. Hello, Paul.
Hi, Peter.
How hot is it in D.C.? I understand you got a big global warming heat wave underway.
It is unspeakably hot. I think it may have hit 100 today.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, we're comfortably in the 90s here in the Bay Area today.
My feeling is that we should pick up the Capitol and move it to the Bay Area.
Oh, great. That'd be a great idea. Well, I referenced a moment ago the song Bush It, kind of suggested it to us. There was this remarkable inadvertent exchange between Tony Blair and George W. Bush, who was rudely stuffing his mouth as Blair stood behind him and tried to talk to him. This is at the G8 summit in St. Petersburg, Russia. And there was an open microphone that Blair spotted and turned off, but not in time. And, Paul, I realize that you cannot represent me before the Federal Communications Commission, but is there a special fine under the new anti-obscenity law for presidential profanity?
That's a good question, because I know that on some broadcast outlets they have aired Bush's comments, and I don't know if this has been tested yet. You know, it used to be that that the rules were, let me see if I can recall how the phrase went, that it had to refer, the word in question had to refer to sexual or excretory organs or activities. Mm-hmm. And there was a case with Bono, who said something on an award show that used the F word, but he wasn't using it in a way that referred to anything sexual.
Right, it modified the word brilliant. He said effing brilliant.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so that was the original ruling of the FCC, that because it wasn't sexual in that way, that didn't constitute indecency, but the fines have been upped and the rules have been adapted, and so I don't know, but we have seen that it's been aired on some broadcast stations, but something tells me that, you know, when these things happen, usually what happens is a lot of conservative groups will bring complaints to the FCC and kind of get the ball rolling,
right.
but one wonders whether or not they're going to be making complaints about something that President Bush said.
Well, we imagine that we have our own minder named Benny at the National Security Agency, so maybe he'll turn us in for a bounty. But if we get nailed, I'm just going to send the bill to CNN, because that's where I'm about to lift this clip, the verbatim comment. And Bush is a little hard to understand because he's stuffing his face. Looks like he's eating bread or something like that. And after the FCC, we'll have to refer this to Miss Manners for her ruling on talking with his mouth full. But let's listen to this brief excerpt from George W. Bush in a casual conversation with Tony Blair about the situation in the Middle East. And you got to go to CNN.com and listen to the clip for yourself and watch it, because Bush is talking with his mouth full. But he does manage to say that we got to get to Syria and have them get to Hezbollah and have them knock off this stuff. See, I can't say it, but we can play the clip verbatim. That's kind of ridiculous under the new law, but that's how it is. So what does this tell us, Paul, about the president and the way Tony Blair approached him as kind of a supplicant here? It's fascinating just to see the body language.
Yeah, well, you know, I think the White House is actually probably not all that upset that he was recorded swearing. It's not the first mm-hmm. time it's happened, and I think they're perfectly happy to have him come across as a regular guy. That's an essential part of the image that they've tried to build low these many years.
Right.
But I think it also, when you see him talking to Tony Blair, you would think the level of analysis of the situation in the Mideast would be a tad more sophisticated than just, you know, we need to get Syria to tell Hezbollah to stop doing this.
Well, and you remember the comment at that last news conference when Blair was in town just in May, And, of course, it was a British reporter who asked Bush if he had any regrets. And he said, well, yeah, I've learned to talk in a more sophisticated manner.
Yeah, well, apparently not. And he said something to Blair at one point that he thought that Condi was going to be going somewhere. He didn't really seem to know when or where, but, you know, Condi might be going someplace to help take care of this. He doesn't really seem to be on top of the operation. So that really makes one wonder about what his level of engagement with this is. But, you know, one thing that's striking to me is that you might recall about a year ago, after there was an election in Iraq, and after Rafiq Hariri was assassinated in Lebanon and there were protests against Syria there, all of a sudden everyone, all the pundits and the journalists were saying, hey, Bush was right. The Iraq war really is spreading democracy and freedom across the Middle East. And we had all this commentary about how, you know, despite all the naysayers, it turned out that, Bush really was right. Well, today we're seeing that that no one is really saying that now. You know, at least the president doesn't seem to be all that particularly concerned.
Mm-hmm. Paul Waldman's with us from Media Matters for America. Turning now to some of the items at the Media Matters website, your colleague who visits with us when you're not here, Jameson Foser, wrote a piece about the way the media keeps pouncing on the alleged liberal blogosphere. And in particular, we've read about how the bloggers are responsible for Joe Lieberman's troubles in Connecticut with challenger Ned Lamont. But as you point out here, your colleague did, it's not really fair because the lefty blogs seem to be far more responsible in their rhetoric than many of the right-wing blogs.
Yeah, this is one of the themes that we hear over and over. Whenever the mainstream media start talking about the left-wing blogs, what we hear is that they're angry, and there's a lot of vituperation and a lot of vitriol and a lot of swearing and just real anger and hatred. And what we see sometimes is that you'll see a mainstream media figure like David Broder or Joe Klein will decide that they're going to check out this blog thing, and they'll read a couple of blogs and then write a column about how just terribly angry it is coming from the liberal side. And what you really find when you look at the blogs and the difference between the liberal blogs and the conservative blogs, there's certainly some anger on the liberal side, and every once in a while you see some of the major liberal bloggers who will actually swear. I've even seen some use the F word. But there's a real difference when you go to the conservative blogs. What we see there is essentially 100 different versions of Ann Coulter, not just that people are angry, not just that they may use strong language, but that they're actually advocating violence against people. You know, for instance, we had this incident where the New York Times in the travel section did an article about a small town in North Carolina, I believe, where both Donald Rumsfeld and Dick Cheney have summer houses. Mm-hmm. And it was a travel story about this town, and it turned out that they printed pictures of the two houses with their permission, and the Secret Service said it was not a security problem. But when this article appeared in the New York Times, a lot of the conservative bloggers went nuts and started to talk about how the reporters from the New York Times should be targeted, and some of them even went and published the names and addresses of reporters in the New York Times. And we've seen this over and over again, mm-hmm. calling for over this whole banking scandal. Lots of conservative bloggers saying that the New York people who work for the New York Times should be executed.
When There's they are found guilty, we should then hang them by the neck until they are dead, dead, dead. That's from a guy named Dean Esme. Paul, we got to take a quick break. We'll return, talk about this a little more, and also Ann Coulter's latest eruption. And we'll talk about Chris Matthews, the head of the Giuliani for President Committee. That's coming up next as we discuss Media Matters with Paul Waldman. You can join us, 831-899-5792. Toll free, 888-579-2540. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
This Sunday and every Sunday at 10 a.m., Rock Roller Real Estate has the biggest names and the biggest deals in real estate. Here's where you can learn about first-time home buying, investing, 1031 exchanges, who are the best lenders, and what will be the next hot area for investing. Rock Roller Real Estate, soon to be heard in Phoenix, San Diego, and Portland. Listen online at rockrollerrealestate.com. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything's so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a good affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew. A side of couscous and a bite of ganoush, yeah. Open at 7. Every day, have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery in PG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Post Graduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 22 minutes past the hour. We continue with Paul Waldman from Media Matters for America on the web, mediamatters.org. And we continue what we were talking about just before the break about the way liberals who blog are characterized as angry and vitriolic, and there's blog rage. Yet the same pundits do not apply the same standards to right-wing expression. And, Paul, last week it was amazing to me because Chris Matthews had on a San Francisco right-wing nutcase talk show host, Melanie Morgan, who called for the trial of on treason charges for Bill Keller of the New York Times. And then in a later conversation with a newspaper, upped the ante to say that she would be just comfortable if he were executed should he be convicted of treason for publishing what everyone has realized is non-sensitive information about Swift and the bank transactions. And it amazes me because if anybody did any homework, it would take them about as long as it took to figure out that the Niger uranium claim was phony to figure out just how phony Melanie Morgan is.
Right. She said that Bill Keller, the executive editor of the New York Times, ought to be sent to the gas chamber. And what we see is a real strain of fascism, and I don't think it's an overstatement to use that word, that runs through the right, that runs through the right-wing blogosphere, that runs through people like Melanie Morgan and Ann Coulter, that the people they disagree with are not just wrong in their eyes. They need to be dealt with violence and sometimes murder. We see Ann Coulter, who regularly advocates the murder of people she disagrees with. The New York Times is just the latest. And the real problem is not just that these people are out there, but that they are given a forum in the mainstream media. Ann Coulter is put on the cover of Time magazine. She's put on the Today Show three times in the space of 8 months. Melanie Morgan is all over cable television. Some of the most the angriest right-wing bloggers get on cable television, too. So there's a real tolerance within the mainstream media for this kind of extremist, violent, sort of crypto-fascist rhetoric that comes from so many quarters on the right. And that's the real problem. You know, if they weren't given that kind of a forum, then it wouldn't really be debasing our discourse in the way it is. And I should just mention that at Media Matters, we are starting a petition that people can go to our website and see to encourage media companies not to give this kind of airtime to people who engage in this kind of rhetoric.
I think that's a great move, because we need to come up with some way. I don't believe in censorship, and Melanie Morgan is entitled to, spew on her own radio show. I would not try to interfere with that. But when people put her on national television without any context of her credibility, and just really what a preening nut she is, that's unfair to the people who are receiving that message without appropriate context.
Absolutely, and you're absolutely right. She has the right to say whatever she wants, but large media companies are under no obligation to give her airtime to spew that kind of hate.
Yeah.
That's a decision that they have to make as to whether or not it's in the best interest of their viewers or their listeners.
Let's move
on
now.
Who are responsible.
Sorry, let's move on to Chris Matthews, who is really unabashed in his promotion of Rudy Giuliani, the former New York mayor, as a Republican candidate for president in 2008. Let's listen to this clip.
Senator George Allen of Virginia is a Republican and a member of the Foreign Relations Committee. Senator Allen, thank you.
Good being
with you. You're
running
for re-election, right?
Yes, sir.
You know, I think you're going to end up being, later on, the biggest challenger to John McCain for the Republican nomination for president in 2008. I think it's going to come down to you two guys. And you'll be the voice of the regular conservative Republican Party, and McCain will be the maverick trying to pretend he's Bush's best friend.
Yeah,
let me ask you about Rudy Giuliani. We just had a little joust off camera. I'm always told don't waste it off camera. I believe he's not only running, I think he's going to win this whole thing come around the next election, the way things look right now.
I hope he runs. I think it says something about the Republican Party as a big tent and the interesting place to be in 2008 with a lot of variety. It's unlikely Rudy Giuliani is going to be the Republican nominee.
Rudy Giuliani's not going to get through the Iowa caucuses. I mean, you're looking in the state of Iowa where you have more of the sort of extremes of both parties control the caucus process. He'll raise some money. He's got some problems. Bernard Kerik was not a really stellar moment for his administration. And I just think anybody who's pro-choice, pro-gay rights, it's a huge problem.
Here's my thought.
I'm
going to throw it out again. I'm not going to argue again. I got a position. I think he's going to win the next presidential election. But let me tell you something.
Okay, that's enough.
I think the number one issue, check me on this.
It is amazing to just see the way he is promoting Giuliani on his show. And this is not the first time, Paul.
No, and Chris Matthews has a thing for Republican politicians. I mean, we've talked before about the kind of worshipful way that he talks about George W. Bush. And then for a while it was McCain. McCain's going to win, and nobody else has a chance. Or sometimes he would have someone like George Allen, as we heard on, and say, well, it might be you and McCain. And then now he's into Giuliani, and he talks about him being the toughest cop in America, and he's going to win the whole thing. One of the things I find so fascinating about how Chris Matthews is always has some Republican hero that he's chilling for at any given moment. He, at one time in his early in his career, worked for Tip O'Neill, the Democratic Speaker of the House. And if you listen to Republicans who are always bleeding about the liberal media, Matthews is one of the people they say, well, look at that. He's a Democrat and he's on television.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, you know, the Republicans have no bigger fan on TV than Chris Matthews.
And he never lets real progressive Democrats on the show. He told me he doesn't book the guests or participate in that anymore. But his producers don't balance that show. They usually have a right winger and somebody who's not so far to the right. Thanks a lot, Paul. Good to talk to you. We'll join you next week.
All right, talk to you soon.
Coming up next, Colonel Sam Gardner talks to us about the Middle East here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor.
What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Parents, do you need cash for college? This year, more than $100 billion is available for financial aid. Let AboutCollegeFunding.com help you navigate the complicated process to accessing your share of these funds. AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. To schedule your free one-hour consultation with RJ Moyet, call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview nationally known writers, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty news shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop. The Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. Coming up just about a half an hour from now, we'll get an update on the latest developments in the conflict in the Middle East. Chris Tonzing from the Middle East Report, the editor of that journal, will be joining us with a brief update. Also next hour, we'll talk with author Dave Lindorf about his new book called The Case for Impeachment. That's all ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Joining us now is Sam Gardner. He retired as a colonel from the United States Air Force. He's taught at the military schools, and he's vigilant on our behalf. Sam, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure as always.
You wouldn't mind being accused of vigilance, would you?
Vigilance is no, I do vigilance.
I think you're doing it very well, and I want to thank you for the emails that you've been dispatching about every day or two, because it does help us keep up with the information that you're able to collect.
Give our listeners a quick sketch as a retired military man. What is your interest in our conflicts in the Middle East and this looming difficulty with Iran? And what has caused you to devote your spare time, whatever spare time you have, to focusing on these issues, staying in touch with former colleagues and other sources to help people like me understand what's going on?
Sure. Probably I could summarize in one word, the Marne. What in the world does he mean by that?
I know he's going to explain.
That was the battle during World War I into which so many young lives went. In what seemed at the time to have been such a glorious cause. My worry right now, and in fact over the weekend it's compounded, and I've, some of the emails that I've written is comparing what's happening in the Middle East now to what happened after the assassination of the Archduke in Sarajevo before World War I.
1914.
Which was not a decision, you know, a rational movement towards the Marne, which was, you know, I just use that as an example of the flooding in World War I, but as sort of an irrational thing where things come together where bad decisions are added upon bad decisions and you end up in a major war. Mm-hmm. Frankly, the pieces are in place for us to have a war in the Middle East, unlike anything we have known since World War II. And what concerns me is so very little people appreciate, or very few people appreciate that. What concerns me is I don't think the administration appreciates it.
Mm-hmm. So in one of your emails, you offered an analysis that Iran saw the United States seeking to spring on them a preemptive attack.
Yes.
And it wasn't very secret. Some of the war games and scenario planning were leaked to the American media. And some of the discussions called for a nuclear option that apparently was shelved. But the discussions continued, talking about identifying hundreds of sites around Iran that would be taken out in a preemptive strike by the U.S. aimed at preventing them from quickly developing a nuclear weapons capability.
Yes.
And you argue that Iran has essentially launched its own preemptive strike. Take a couple of minutes and explain your thinking.
Well, sure. They turned it on its head, which is really surprising. Well, let me say a couple things. Number one, I find, and I say this in a loving way and descriptive way, a lot of my liberal friends say, reject this talk that Iran is behind what may be happening in the conflict now going on between the Hezbollah and Israel. The evidence is historical, and it is currently very clear that Iran and Syria have a direct hand in that. And I'm being told by some sources that, in fact, they may have been involved in the planning for the kidnapping. So there is no question about the traceability of this to Iran.
And can I jump in for a second here?
Sure,
because
sure.
As a liberal and somebody who considers himself at least friendly towards you, we've never had a chance to meet in person. I agree with that argument,
yeah.
And I would add to it that I think the U.S. is operating through its proxy, Israel.
Oh, sure.
And so I do accept that Iran, to a greater degree than Syria, is using Hezbollah as a proxy, and it's in some ways a brilliant move. To,
it is.
On the one hand, say, sure, we're ready to sit down and talk nukes, and we like that incentive package you brought us.
Yeah.
And meantime, the proxy is really roiling the waters.
And I think that they appreciate the most profound message they can send, and they have sent it. It's in the price of oil, and it'll be the price of gasoline. You know, the Middle East is a fuzzy mess when seen from Iowa City, Iowa, but it's not when you go to the pump and fill up and it costs $60. Hmm. They are sending a very clear message, and what's behind the message is they're saying, and if you don't like this, we can double this. And they really can. They have the ability to at least temporarily cut off oil flowing out of the Gulf. So they do have leverage. And it's not leverage that I think the administration has appreciated. But in essence, let me go to your point about
sure.
Israel. I think that, in fact, much of this has been planned between the United States and Israel. I think they knew it was coming. I think they knew the kidnappings were coming. I think we even may have known the meetings where they were discussed.
Mm-hmm.
What's unfolding is not a reaction to the kidnappings, as many people have said.
Right.
Israel has decided to do regime change in Gaza, and they have decided to set up a 20-kilometer, 12-mile corridor in Lebanon, which is not completed yet, but that's where that's headed. And again, going back to, I guess, my original point, and you know, we are in this process, we could have some stupid mistakes made by Syria, by Iran, by the United States, by Israel, by Hezbollah, that could lead to a greater Middle East war.
Mm-hmm. Is it World War III? Nudy was on TV over the weekend floating that phrase, and that seems a little bit hysterical at this stage. I realize we have a very serious conflict there, but to offer that label so early in the conflict suggests that Newt knows more about Bush's intentions than we do.
Did you watch his eyes when he said that? He loved that. I can't help but think back of what Queen Victoria said about the Crimean War, which was so bloody. The war is popular beyond belief. I don't know why people on the television over the weekend, it was people almost wanting to go to broader war. Mm-hmm. I just boggles my mind. He actually said that with glee. His eyes twinkled when he said this is World War III.
And for our listeners, I'd like to direct you to Danny Schechter's blog at mediachannel.org.
Sure.
He wrote about this effectively and, in fact, quotes a few lines from you, Sam Gardner, in his blog today. And I think he does a good job of critiquing the way the media has handled this, and in particular the decisions that Tim Russert and his producers made about how to cover these issues in this escalating war on Meet the Press over the weekend. And Danny did a great job of parsing that, so I won't take more time, but encourage people to go read it.
Danny's a wonderful man.
He is. He's very bright. Now, coming back to the players and their motivations, let's focus again for a moment on Iran here. We know that Ahmadinejad has been making, you know, a lot of strident speeches and using very powerful rhetoric, but over the weekend he gave a speech where he actually referred to Hitler and the Nazi regime in context of this situation. I can't cite the quote, but it was remarkable, given his Holocaust-denying remarks of the past, that he would make a citation like that.
I think there's something we got to keep reminding ourselves about what goes on in Iran. He may not have a lot of authority there. The decision-making process in Iran is sort of a combination of individual bargaining and collective bargaining that goes on with the supreme leader.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I was told by a foreign diplomat who has connections with the Supreme National Security Council in Iran that what may have happened is not only the president, but there are others on the council who are more hardline, and that, in fact, their words sort of began to dominate. And so what we have seen in Iran is a result of the hardliners probably mistakenly believe that they are stronger than they are. I mean, what sort of comes to me is this notion about how these how we can have this collective bad decision-making. I mean, they underestimated Israel. I don't think in this planning for the taking of the hostages that they estimated Israel would do that. So we have that. And, you know, the other thing that worries me is the decision-making process in Syria. Assad doesn't do well when he has to make quick decisions because the people immediately around him give him bad advice. And he will only come to relatively good decisions if he has time. And the crisis doesn't give him time to do that. And then I would then point on what's going on in Israel. You know, the leadership in Israel is new at this. They don't have the experience. In addition to that, the Air Force seems to have taken over the military part of the decision making. And a lot of what we see are air forces who think that strategic bombing is going to change the world. So I can make this scenario of all of the main players seeming to have the capacity to do bad decision making. That's where I get to the worry about it's being parallel to World War One.
Well, and a lot of people, I think, and forgive me if this is too elementary because you've taught at the War College, but a lot of people seem to think that there is no interconnectivity and that one action will not lead to a reaction. And
yes.
Just one angle, and this is not exclusive, but it's just one angle, that Israel's take-no-prisoners approach, that's not the right phrase.
It's close.
Their hard-line approach, their maximum force approach, to Gaza after the loss of Gilad, the one corporal, it seemed as if they were oblivious to the idea that Palestinians have allies
who might
push back if Israel pushed too hard. And I believe Israel did overreact, but I don't think it was accidental.
No, I don't think so either. And it's really painful. There are so many leaders that believe the only reason things go badly is because we haven't shown them we're tough. I mean, you have to, that's the president's thinking. In fact, you heard that in that...
The clip.
Yes,
we played it. We played it at some peril earlier this hour. Without a bleep.
I won't repeat the word. But anyway, you see, that is not the world. If only I was tough, and I don't know whether you've read Susskind's book on the decision-making before Gulf that just came out.
It's on my nightstand, and he's going to be on our show this Thursday.
Absolutely the best insight we've seen. But essentially what he says is the reason that we went to war in Iraq was because Cheney, who convinced everybody else, believed that we would have terrorism if the world didn't think we were tough. Wasn't about oil, wasn't about nuclear weapons, it was to show we were tough. And that thinking still dominates. And I'm afraid that tough is going to get us into some serious problems.
We're going to take a break and return with Colonel Sam Gardner. We'll go to the phones in the next segment, so if you have a question or comment about this unpredictable, escalating situation in the Middle East, get on the line now. Central Coast, 831-899-5792. Or toll-free, call me at 1-888-579-2540. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show.
I'm Chuck Mackley, owner of Executive Financial Services. I can get you up to 12% interest on your investment on first and second trust deeds secured by real property. Don't settle for 3 to 5% on your money. Call me today at 443-7277. Your investment will be protected by the equity in the property and title insurance. Put your hard-earned money to work. Call Executive Financial Services at 443-7277 and ask for Chuck Mackley.
Hi, Dan Brown, president of At Your Service Premier Event Planning and Transportation. We specialize at events ranging from a two-person anniversary, our 200 guests attending the great AT&T or the concourse. We have a fleet of sedans, limousines, vans, mini coaches, as well as vintage cars that make any event special. Weddings, wine tours, or corporate events, give us a call, 625-5363, or check us out on the web, MontereyLimos.com. Our corporate transportation program offers competitive rates, we answer the phone 24/7, and you get a real person. And we have the best professional chauffeurs. We cover all the airports including San Francisco, San Jose, Oakland, and Monterey. We can help plan your company's VIP meeting or employee outing to the ballgame. Let us take the worry and hassle out of your transportation or event. 625-5363 or MontereyLimos.com.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school. when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am Attorney Sean Mills.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale. At a new time, Reality Radio can now be heard every Saturday afternoon from 4 to 5. So keep it right here, AM 540, for extraordinary progressive talk. Number one in Reality Radio, with me, Sheila Gale. There's nothing we won't talk about. See us Saturday, 4 to 5, Reality Radio, right here on AM 540 KRXA.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. Yeah! We're talking with retired Air Force Colonel Sam Gardner, who's suffering through a heat wave in the Washington, D.C. area. We're talking about the wave of violence that has spread across the Middle East, particularly over the last 5 days. Israel now opening two fronts in addition to Gaza. They are now pummeling Lebanon. And Sam Gardner, from your point of view, to what extent is Lebanon directly responsible for the assaults that have been launched by Hezbollah from its soil?
Well, probably responsible to the extent that the government in Pakistan is responsible for terrorists being there. I mean, they're there. They can't control them. And so, you know, to what extent do we punish them for being there? It's a historical fact that they have been there. So I think that, you know, it's very interesting that people are not really even focusing on the government of Lebanon to the extent that they're focusing on Syria to control Hezbollah. Mm-hmm. You know, all of the pressure point seems to be with Syria and not with Lebanon.
Indeed, but the current bombing raids and the military operations are aimed exclusively at Lebanon. Bush's
yes.
rhetoric clearly is focused on Syria.
Yes, and very interesting. Just before we began talking, I saw a wire service report that Israel had attacked a Lebanese army post. That's a serious escalation. Now, why they're going after the Lebanese army, I don't know, but that's an important escalation.
So why does Bush want to make Syria the bad boy in this picture right now?
Well, I hope I'm not right. I think that it may lead to this, which is, here's the storyline as it appears in October of this year, just before the elections.
Mm-hmm.
He goes to the House or to the Congress requesting a resolution to use military force against Iran and Syria because of, A, their involvement in destabilizing the Middle East, the current situation, B, because of their involvement in fighting democracy in Iraq, and we will see more evidence of that, which will be part of the story, and C, because of their developing nuclear weapons program, and we will be in the same position we were in October of 2002, just before the congressional elections.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to the phones. Dave in Eureka, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show with Colonel Sam Gardner.
Hey, always excellent guests, Peter. And Colonel Gardner, I like most of you thinking, you're clearly not one to just blindly accept the official party line. I'm even more suspicious of what's behind a lot of it, so I'd share the thought whenever the opportunity presents.
Sure.
That in the earliest days of what they call PNAC, they laid out a plan. Their intent was to occupy the oil fields of the Middle East, and they've gotten a little bit behind schedule. They fully intended to be occupying the oil fields of Iran and Syria by now. They've been talking all kinds of trash about both countries. It's very difficult for them to just blindly lie us into a war again. I think they would conspire with Israel to set the groundwork for them to have to go in. I don't know. I'm terribly suspicious. I don't see clean hearts in our White House today.
Well, I'm, you know, the irony is that there is, and I guess this is the irony of good propaganda, which is there is an element of truth to it. You know, by blaming what's going on now to Iran, it supports the other message line, and there is a degree of element of truth to it. I mean, that's why I think, and I said this in a loving way, why liberals have trouble with this argument of what's going on now, that in fact Iran really is behind it. Now, the fact that that might be used later, you know, to argue for a strike on Iran, you know, is not the good part. But, I mean, that's what we want to avoid. But there is the element of truth that Iran is its fingerprints are all over this gun.
I've been hearing that Iran and Syria have never invaded any other country ever in history, that they're not the kind to preemptively create such a problem. We've heard a lot of bad stuff about them, but they're not aggressors.
Well, not quite true. And I'll say this. I exchanged some emails over the weekend with David Kaye, you know, who had been
the weapons inspector. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. He said, go back and look at the history of Khobar Towers. You remember that the argument was that Khobar Towers had the Iranian fingerprint on it?
Mm-hmm.
He said that we thought at the time and still believe that that was a preemption by Iran because we were in the process of deploying some air forces in there and they thought we were going to attack them. It turned out 3 months later, we attacked Iraq, you know, in one of these punishing bombings. But there was a belief at the time that we were going to go after Iran. So you could also say that they have preempted us before, or David Kaye would.
Yeah. Thank you for the call, Dave. Sam, help me try to parse this, because both sides are claiming that they were provoked into the current exchange of hostilities. And Israel appears now to be implementing a plan that they've had up on the drawing board for 5 years. At the same time, it is fair to say that the tunnel that Hamas dug under the border and into Israel was not an accident. Their use of it to spring the raid that grabbed Gilad, not an accident. Hezbollah's rocket attacks, not an accident.
Sure.
So I do accept that there are provocations, but did these groups respond to what they saw as a looming threat from Israel that really isn't widely reported on these shores?
Well, I mean, you know, you can you almost have to unpeel that onion one at a time. The first part of it was, you recall, after the Hamas election in Gaza, both Israel and the United States refused to recognize Hamas as an elected representative of the Palestinian people.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, how would you, you know, what that meant was money. And, you know, there are policemen who haven't been paid for 5 months in Gaza.
Right.
So, you know, there was bound to be some sort of reaction to that. Now, was that what caused the next step? I'm told the tunnel was underdeveloped for a long time.
Right.
I'm told, and this is an important point, that Israel probably knew that there was going to be an attempt to kidnap. They might not have known where or when, but they knew that was coming.
Mm-hmm.
And the United States knew that was coming. So that when you see the Israeli reaction, you have to understand it in the context of pre-knowledge and pre-planning of how to react to that event.
Sam, I got to stop now. We're out of time. But I'd love to have you back as soon as your schedule permits, because I appreciate the way you explain this and the depth of your knowledge.
Good to talk to you, PB.
All right. That's Sam Gardner, retired U.S. Air Force colonel. Coming up next, the case for impeachment. And first, we'll get a live report from Chris Tonsing at the Middle East Report, the latest developments in the conflict there. That's straight ahead right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm glad you're listening. We'll be right back.
doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
"We're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service."
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The danger escalates.
For the first time in this conflict, Hezbollah hits a residential neighborhood in Israel.
A big operation to get Americans out of Lebanon.
We can't just put a few people on a minibus and send them out across the border.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Israeli bombs and missiles continue to pound Lebanon while more Hezbollah rockets flew across the border into northern Israel. CBS News correspondent Lara Logan reports from Haifa.
The wail of air raid sirens signaled another attack, forcing people to take cover once again. Among those crouching against the wall, Haifa's mayor. The volley of explosions had barely faded as police and emergency workers rushed to the scene of the latest attack. This time it was an apartment building, the top floors torn apart by the force of the blast. Smoke still rising into the air as the very first casualties were taken away to safety.
CBS News correspondent Dan Raviv has more from Tel Aviv.
Israel. Prime Minister Ehud Olmert, addressing Israel's parliament on this crisis for the first time, warned the Israeli people that the battles against Hezbollah in Lebanon and Hamas in Gaza may become more painful with more casualties, but Olmert said no more will Israel tolerate its soldiers being kidnapped and citizens attacked by missiles. He showed no interest in compromises that diplomats might suggest. Then the head of the opposition, Benjamin Netanyahu, promised full support, adding the world understands terror has to be fought. Dan Raviv, CBS News, Tel Aviv.
U.S. military helicopters evacuated 64 Americans from Beirut today, and the State Department is gearing up for an operation to evacuate thousands more. Juliet Wuhr is a spokeswoman for the U.S. Embassy in Beirut.
We're really focusing on probably maritime departure, that we can assure that those citizens, not only when they gather, but when they are departing Lebanon, that they are in 100% security.
A chartered ferry with a U.S. destroyer escort will carry as many as 750 people at a time from Beirut to Cyprus. Now this.
Yes, I'm asleep. Aches and pains used to keep me up all the time, but now new Advil PM is changing all that. If I was awake, I'd leap for joy, but I'm not. I'm asleep. See, new Advil PM combines the multi-pain relieving power of Advil with a non-habit-forming sleep aid. Nothing's proven stronger on tough nighttime pain. I'd shout it from the hilltops, but I don't want to wake myself up.
New Advil PM. Stop hurting and start sleeping. Use only as directed.
There are infinite dynamics in business. For example, the $10 million saved is $10 million earned dynamic. Or the our month-end reports actually happen by the end of the month dynamic. Or the yes, I can forecast the revenue, no, I don't own a crystal ball dynamic. How do you manage these dynamics? Microsoft Dynamics. Software solutions that are specially designed to improve your customer relationship, financial, and supply chain management. To find out more, visit Microsoft.com/Microsoft Dynamics.
A strong undersea earthquake triggered a tsunami that crashed ashore in Java, Indonesia. Local authorities say at least 86 people were killed. Scores are missing. As bad as it was, reporter Stephen Flay in Java tells us it pales in comparison to the tsunami in December 2004.
This is nowhere near the scale of the tsunami last year, but then again, it is still a tsunami, and it is still 2 meters high, can cause immense damage.
The big wave hit along 110 miles of coast. People ran for their lives, rushing for higher ground, and in some cases climbing trees. This routine is costing drivers more than at any time since Hurricane Katrina. The Energy Department says the national average for regular rose to $2.99 a gallon last week. That's up 67 cents from last July. The oil market settled down today, believing the Mideast violence will not spread. Prices fell to $75.30 a barrel, more than $3 lower than last week's record high.
We'll stop. Welcome back, Discovery, and congratulations.
The space shuttle landed safely today at the Kennedy Space Center. CBS News correspondent Peter King covered the mission.
It was a jam-packed flight full of great moments, says Commander Steve Lindsay.
Every day I said, wow, we did that, and it worked great. And then, of course, you can enjoy that for about 30 seconds, and then you worry about the next objective.
The crew demonstrated shuttle repair methods and paved the way to complete the International Space Station. But for spacewalker Piers Sellers, the most satisfying moment came after touchdown.
We all looked at each other, we all stopped, frankly, and said, you know, we're done.
Peter King, CBS News at the Kennedy Space Center.
You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Somewhere between what a person is saying and what they're not saying, between what a person wants and what they need, lies understanding. For every client, everywhere, UBS has a distinct ability to listen. But more importantly, the commitment to understand. UBS, leader in wealth management, global asset management, and investment banking, and committed to a relationship we call you and us. Member SIPC.
Why do I like working for Verizon Wireless? Well, my job is turning ideas into reality. All those new features like video on your cell phone that you show your friends, that's my team bringing them to you. So what's not to like? But the best part is that here, it's not just a job. It's a career. With great training and tuition reimbursement, Verizon Wireless and I grow together. I'm Brian Williams, Technology Development Engineer. Our people, our network, Verizon Wireless. We never stop working for you.
And we launch another hour of the Peter B. Collins Show, originating from the Left Coast. I'm glad you're listening. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, our guest for this hour, Dave Lindorf, will join us. He's co-authored a new book called The Case for Impeachment. But in view of the developments and the new hostilities in the Middle East, we've decided for the foreseeable future to invite Chris Tonsing, the editor of the Middle East Report, to join us on the program every weekday at this time to give us a brief update on the events, because things are happening so quickly that my fear is that we will lose perspective and kind of lose track of things as they roll out. So, Chris, I'm very grateful to you for helping us out with this and sharing your expertise. And let me set it up this way. We're just starting this today for the first time. Why don't you give us, say, a 2 to 3 minute update, and I will try to avoid interrupting you. And then when you're finished, I'll probably follow up with a couple of questions. How's that?
That sounds fine, Peter, and thanks for having me. I guess since we last spoke, I think the major developments are these. First, there have been escalations on both sides in the fighting itself. Israel has rather dramatically escalated its bombing campaign in Lebanon. By some reports, as many as 200 civilians are dead as a result. Israel has continued to attack targets such as bridges, roads, airports, power plants, and also roads and bridges connecting the southern suburbs of Beirut to its environs, presumably to limit the freedom of movement of Hezbollah leaders and fighters. Hezbollah, for its part, has fired increasing barrages of rockets at Israel, hitting yesterday and today the Israeli town of Haifa, which is, I believe, the third largest city in the country, and particularly deadly attack yesterday killed 8 railway workers. So the death toll and the destruction on both sides is increasing, it's quite alarming, although Lebanon is paying by far the larger price of the two countries. The other big piece of news is that the U.S. has further clarified its attitude of its stance of, I would say, active non-intervention in the spiraling conflict. Bush and Rice, Condoleezza Rice, have specifically said that a ceasefire is not what's needed in the current circumstances, going against the advice of and the opinion of the French President Jacques Chirac and the French government and many other observers around the world. Bush says that he may send Condoleezza Rice as a special envoy to the region to try to calm things down, but the question, of course, is what her agenda, what her mission would be. And if the U.S. does not intend to broker a ceasefire, it's tough to see what that mission would be. It appears from a lengthy analysis by Robin Wright in the Washington Post on Sunday that the U.S. is pretty much lining up behind Israel's objectives in this military campaign, which are to at least push Hezbollah rocket positions and fighters away from the northern border of Israel, perhaps reestablishing some kind of security buffer zone for Israel in South Lebanon, such as what it had from 1982 through 2000.
So that would be a military occupation?
That is one possibility, though Israel has said a number of times that they have no such intention at the present time. They have at the present time said that there is no intention of moving ground troops into Lebanon, that the campaign will continue to be from the air as well as from the sea. But that could change as this situation moves forward. And it appears that the common U.S.-Israeli goal here is to crush Hezbollah as a fighting force. And as a way of the code word for that is, in their diplomacy, is implementing Resolution 1559, which is passed by the UN Security Council in September 2004. The first part of that resolution was the withdrawal of Syrian troops from Lebanon and the removal of Syrian political influence from Lebanon. That was largely achieved last spring, and now the remaining part of that resolution is the disarmament of all remaining militias outside the army of the Lebanese state, and that means primarily Hezbollah. So I think we are headed for a prolonged and escalating confrontation with the U.S. and Israel increasingly isolated in world opinion, but seemingly politically strong and able to continue. And Hezbollah will, I think, dig in its heels. Certainly, I don't expect the Israeli prisoners to be returned, and I certainly don't expect that they would agree to disarm. And the more the bombing goes on, at least for now, the more that Lebanese opinion, even among those Lebanese who are political opponents of Hezbollah and its agenda, will rally behind them, particularly as Lebanese and Arabs elsewhere in the region see that Hezbollah is actually able to make good on some of its threats of answering the bombing and the pain inflicted on Lebanon with pain inflicted on Israel.
You just described a dichotomy, I see, which is that Israel is trying to use its military force to persuade so-called moderate Lebanese to try to eject Hezbollah from civic life in Lebanon. But I think the harder Israel hits, the more those moderates feel they must align with Hezbollah because Israel's pummeling them so hard and they're caught in the middle.
That is certainly the case for now. There have been no indications that is not the attitude in Lebanon, and in fact that attitude I think is strengthening. You can see that clearly in the positions of the Lebanese government, which are, you know, the Lebanese prime minister is pleading in every available forum for a ceasefire. Very little is possible in terms of the Lebanese political process until there is a ceasefire, until the country is not being bombed.
Chris, the L.A. Times reported about 2 hours ago Israel for the first time today signaled its willingness to accept a ceasefire based on a pullback of Hezbollah guerrillas from Lebanon's frontier and the release of two captured soldiers. Now, this is not quite consistent with what you just described about Bush's posture. And the inadvertent comment that was picked up by an open microphone as he ate food and talked stuff with Tony Blair in St. Petersburg yesterday was quite telling.
Right. I was, you know, Israeli statesmen were asked directly about this report that they would be willing to accept a ceasefire on the terms that you mentioned. And supposedly that offer was conveyed through Italy to the government of Lebanon, which is a strange choice middleman. But Shimon Peres, who is the deputy premier and a high-ranking figure in the ruling Kadima party, and a veteran Israeli statesman of many Israeli governments, did not confirm that, nor have other Israeli spokespeople confirmed that those are the terms of the deal. It appears still that there would be a third condition attached, which is the implementation of 1559, so that, as Olmert has been promising the Knesset and the public when he addresses the Israeli public, they can be sure that Hezbollah's weapons will never be in a position to threaten Israel again.
Mm-hmm. Chris, thank you for the update today. We'll talk to you again tomorrow about this same time.
Thanks very much, Peter.
Chris Tonsing from the Middle East Report. Visit their website, merip.org. Next, let's talk to Dave Lindorf about the case for impeachment.
We got a president so bad, gotta be the worst we ever had. Got the job 'cause of his dad, now we're all in danger. He come around up to no good, broke the old treaties 'cause he could. Struts all around like a hood, got us in a world of trouble. Put him in a straitjacket, there's no doubt. Let the psychiatrist figure him out. Listen while the demonstrators cheer and shout. We'll all feel better in the morning.
Yes, we would feel better the morning after we saw a bill of impeachment clear the House of Representatives. Dave Lindorf is a longtime investigative journalist, and he teamed up with Barbara Olshansky, who's been on our program before. She's deputy director for the Center for Constitutional Rights in New York. That's the organization that has done so much great work on behalf of the detainees who are held in an extra-legal, my view, illegal situation in Guantanamo Bay and elsewhere around the world. And the new book they co-authored is The Case for Impeachment, The Legal Argument for Removing President George W. Bush from Office. Dave Lindorf, welcome to our program today.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Great to talk with you. And we just have about a minute in this segment, and then we'll go the rest of the hour. I want to open up the phone lines because a lot of our listeners support the idea of impeaching Bush and Cheney. And I want to talk to you about the order of affairs there and see what you counsel on that. But first, I want to mention that CCR, the Center for Constitutional Rights, is holding a special public forum in Oakland, California, this Wednesday night, July 19th. And Bill Goodman, CCR legal director, who was on our program just last week talking about the Gitmo case and the historic Supreme Court ruling just before July 4th, he's going to be making the presentation along with Dr. Dan Ellsberg. Ellsberg, the guy who was courageous enough to bring us the Pentagon Papers some 40 years ago. And the event is, as we mentioned, Wednesday, July 19th, 7 p.m. That's at the Grand Lake Theater, a beautiful old theater in downtown Oakland. It's 3200 Grand Avenue. And you should log on to articlesofimpeachment.net to get more information and to RSVP for the event. It's probably going to be pretty popular in the San Francisco East Bay, so I do recommend that you not show up without an RSVP. And Dave, we're going to take a quick break and then dive into the book and the subject, The Case for Impeachment. That's straight ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show. If you want to talk with our guest, he's here for the entire hour. Grab a line, 831-899-5792 on the Central Coast, or toll-free 888-579-2540. You're in touch with the Peter B. Collins Show.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
This Sunday and every Sunday at 10 a.m., Rock Roller Real Estate has the biggest names and the biggest deals in real estate. Here's where you can learn about first-time home buying, investing, 1031 exchanges, who are the best lenders, and what will be the next hot area for investing. Rock Roller Real Estate, soon to be heard in Phoenix, San Diego, and Portland. Listen online at rockrollerrealestate.com. To be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just-renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
421 now, KRXA 540 takes a look at the Monday afternoon drive home. We go to Metro Traffic. Here's Larry Olson.
And we'll start right at it in Salinas, Highway 183 at Davis Road. Accident involving a minivan and a train that collided. No lanes are blocked. CHP currently on the scene. Been going on for about an hour now. That's Salinas 183 at Davis Road. Accident involving a minivan and a train that collided. Santa Cruz, southbound Highway 1 at Morrissey Boulevard. Left lane currently blocked by a two-car crash. That's southbound Highway 1 at Morrissey Boulevard there. Taking a look at the Santa Cruz mounds, no stalls or accidents to report on Highway 17. A little bit slow, 17 from 85 over to the Lexington Reservoir. But for the most part, looking good as you make your way towards the summit, so no major problems to report there. 101 southbound, leaving the 85 interchange. No accidents to report, but a pretty good-looking ride so far. You don't need different pain relievers for different...
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. Are you ready for impeachment? Okay, what happened? I clicked. Did I click the wrong mouse? That was my big setup, and now my computer is not cooperating. This is frustrating, friends. Come on, I have Tone Loke ready to roll. Well, we'll give you this instead.
Saddam Hussein now has weapons of mass destruction.
Iraq's weapons of mass destruction.
A clear threat to the United States.
And there's dozens of ballistic missiles.
It is sponsored and sheltered terrorists.
Paying suicide
bombers.
Chemical
weapons are equally chosen.
Biological weapons, including anthrax and botulism toxins.
Biological and chemical agent to kill millions of people.
Chemical weapons, including VX and sarin, mustard gas.
To a massive and sudden horror.
Massive death and destruction.
Death on a massive scale.
I like to play that as a little reminder about the real lies that were told to the American people before Bush launched his unilateral adventure in Iraq. Dave Lindorf is co-author of the book, The Case for Impeachment, The Legal Argument for Removing President George W. Bush from Office. Thanks for joining us, Dave. And why impeachment, and why at this time when Republicans control all of the organs of government in Washington?
Well, first of all, Barbara and I argue that impeachment is not going to happen unless the Democrats take over the House. That's a given. Mm-hmm. This Republican Party is almost like it's almost like a fascist organization in its militaristic lockstep approach to leadership. There is no questioning of the leadership from the president and the White House coming from this Congress. No significant question challenging. No. I mean, look, the 750 laws that they passed, his own party have been invalidated by this president on the signature of a signing statement, and they haven't raised objections even about that enormous violation of the tripartite division of powers laid out in the Constitution. So they're certainly not going to introduce or accommodate bills of impeachment, but it's increasingly looking, over the course of the time we were writing this book, like Democrats may take over the House, and that changes the picture entirely.
Yes,
then
does.
You suddenly have a judiciary that's headed by John Conyers, who's already made it clear that he thinks the president has committed impeachable acts, so that if just one congressperson introduces a bill of impeachment, it'll go to that committee, and there certainly will be hearings, whatever Nancy Pelosi says.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, I'm glad that you have made the case, and I believe that it's a necessary step, and it's also an important way of galvanizing the American people around the need for change in the Congress. And while I have my reservations about Democratic majorities, I wouldn't want them to have one-party rule in Washington either, I do see that if we can change the House of Representatives this fall, that there would be the basis. As you say, Conyers would chair judiciary, and all of these resolutions that have been coming in from municipal governmental bodies, state legislatures, and other places around the country would then be acknowledged and acted upon. Also, of course, a member of the Judiciary Committee could bring a bill of impeachment as well.
That's true. Any member of Congress actually can bring a bill of impeachment, as well as it's being attempted in your state and several others. There's a second route for impeachment, which is for both chambers of a state legislature to pass a resolution calling for a bill of impeachment, and that also initiates an inquiry in a Judiciary Committee of the House.
Mm-hmm.
So there's two routes. And I would agree with you that about the enormous importance of these local, state, and county and city resolutions calling for impeachment. Just as that built up an enormous public support for fighting back against the Patriot Act, I think it will also steal the rather weak resolve of Democrats to take action on this and mm-hmm. defend the Constitution like they're supposed to, like they're sworn to.
I'd like to give due credit to two women named Elizabeth. One, Elizabeth de la Vega, who is a retired federal prosecutor based in San Jose, California. The other, Elizabeth Holtzman, who served in Congress during the Nixon impeachment proceedings on the special committee, the select committee at that time. And both have been guests on our program. Both are eloquent in legally defining the charges against the president, and some people argue the vice president as well. Do you think that both parties should be included in any impeachment proceedings, Dave Lindorf?
Oh, absolutely. It's interesting that, in fact, Ron Paul, a congressman from Texas, has been among the most outspoken on the impeachment issue, and he says clearly that the president has violated the Constitution in impeachable ways. And so I think, one of the things that you need to be, your listeners need to be aware of is that impeachment, when it's worked, has always been bipartisan. It really isn't just a political thing, and we don't see this as a political thing. We really see the crimes of this president, the political crimes of this president especially, are a threat to the very foundation of this Republican democracy. And it's the obligation of members of Congress who are sworn to uphold the Constitution and defend the Constitution to do exactly that. And there's so much damage that can be done in the next 2 years, some of it might be irreparable, that they really have to act. I mean, one example is the...
Let me stop you there, Dave. We've got a break coming, just like a freight train, but we'll let you complete that thought after the freight train passes. Dave Lindorf with us, The Case for Impeachment. Bring your questions on now, 888-579-2540, toll free, or Central Coast at 899-5792. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy together are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. Research and common sense show that children learn by playing, and the caring management and staff at Thinker Toys have 37 years of experience helping parents and grandparents choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. So whether you're birthday shopping or simply want to show your love, a gift from Thinker Toys is a way to let someone know you care enough to shop for the very best. With an outstanding selection of Thomas the Tank engines and tracks, puzzles, board games, and children's books, all very reasonably priced, you can't go wrong with a gift from Thinker Toys. So stop by the beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos, or the just renovated Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Parents, do you need cash for college? This year, more than $100 billion is available for financial aid. Let AboutCollegeFunding.com help you navigate the complicated process to accessing your share of these funds. AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. To schedule your free one-hour consultation with RJ Moyet, call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Hi, this is Ed Schultz, America's number one progressive talker. Join me every weekday from noon to 3 here on KRXA 540. I'm based in Fargo, North Dakota, and we bring you news and views from the heartland of America. I'm fighting the righties every day on behalf of the working people who've made the nation great. Tell your friends to listen. Give me a call toll-free, 1-877-934-6833. The Ed Schultz Show, noon to 3 on KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
Doesn't your Volvo deserve to be maintained and repaired by the best? Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is locally owned and operated by Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco. Tracy is a factory-trained Volvo service advisor. Mike is a factory-trained and certified Volvo technician with over 17 years of experience servicing and repairing Volvos. Join the many Monterey Bay Volvo owners who only trust Hans Auto Repair to service their Volvos. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside. Call Hans at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues. We're talking about the case for impeachment. Our country's in trouble.
There's no other way to say it. We've been lied to and misled into another senseless war. How many thousands must lay dead before we wake up from this nightmare and revive the American dream? If we blindly stay the course, this horse will drown us in the stream. Let's take our heads out of the sand and open up our eyes, let's take our heads out of the sand and finally realize that our tomorrows will depend on what we do today. You don't stay the course on a horse that's going the wrong way. You don't stay the course on a
course that's going the wrong way.
That's right. You don't stay the course on a horse that's going the wrong way. That's the Wickline family from suburban Seattle. They were moved to lend their voices to the need for regime change in this country. Dave Lindorf is a writer, investigative journalist, and he teamed up with Barbara Olshansky from the Center for Constitutional Rights to publish The Case for Impeachment, subtitled The Legal Argument for Removing President George W. Bush from Office. If you have a question or a comment, I'd like to hear from you, and lines are open right now. Toll free at 888-579-2540 or on the Central Coast, a local call at 899-5792. Now, Dave, give us a little background on the book itself, because I'm holding the hardcover edition from St. Martin's Press. And about 60-75 days ago, I got a copy from the Center for Constitutional Rights of a booklet version, which was simply more succinct. What was the evolution of the
concept and the books? They're actually not connected at all. It's funny. I asked Barbara back in October to join me in doing this book when St. Martin's invited me to write it. And the Center for Constitutional Rights came up with the idea of throwing their booklet together, I think, in February.
Mm-hmm.
And pulled it together really fast. It's a good little handbook.
Yeah.
We tried to do something more with this book. I mean, if the start of the book lays out, first of all, the case of why we think this has all happened. Because I think you have to go further than just say what the president did wrong. Because for most people, it's so incredible to think, you know, if you get away from the left community and maybe the far right libertarians, the broad majority of Americans find it hard to believe that a president would so massively undermine the foundations of our country. And so we felt it was important to lay out an explanation of who these people are and where they're coming from and where they're trying to get. And it's not a pretty picture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the story of Cheney and Bush's obsessive secrecy has been told and told again, but it needs to be told in the context of why they're so secretive. And the other thing that we did was to show how they really, in a very cynical way and very deliberately used the 9/11 tragedy to in much the same way that the Nazis used the Reichstag fire to, instead of rally Americans, to scare the hell out of Americans into surrendering power to them, getting Congress and the courts to surrender power to them in an unprecedented way, and to get Americans to acquiesce in this loss of rights that has been just phenomenal.
And so if you could summarize briefly for us, what are the key charges that you think are not only warranted but also are actionable? Because we all have our favorite reasons why the Bush administration is a complete failure and has violated the oath of office, the Constitution. But in narrowing the charges to the things that you think might actually gain traction, what did you reduce it to, you and Barbara?
Well, there's several different categories here. I mean, first of all, let me make one explanation for people, because there's been a gross misunderstanding, largely because of the Clinton impeachment, of what impeachment is about. Clinton was impeached, remember, for the basic issue. The only real charge that was leveled against him with any success was that he had lied under oath,
mm-hmm.
Which indeed he did.
Yes.
And that is a violation of the law.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the way they wanted to get him. They couldn't get him for, you know, a affair. I mean, my God, 90% of Congress would be out on their ears if that were a standard for losing your office. But
not only their ears, but their rears.
Yeah, true. You know, they got this very narrow thing that Clinton had lied under oath. In fact, so with Bush, a lot of times the thing you hear when people say, well, he lied about the war, as we do, you hear people say, well, yeah, but he didn't do that under oath. And that is not the issue. And Barbara did, who wrote the chapters on the history of impeachment, makes a really good point here that the founding fathers were not primarily concerned about violations of law when they introduced an impeachment procedure. They were talking about political crimes primarily, and in fact in the traditional English definition of high crimes and misdemeanors, which is what the founding fathers had in mind, the high crimes, which is the serious ones, the really serious ones, were not violations of law. They were the high crimes were violations of things like abuse of power, violations of the Constitution's provisions and things, which are not actionable criminal violations. Mm-hmm. And misdemeanors were, which we think of as like traffic violations and speeding, were, in their definition, were the violations of law. Now, there are violations of law by this president. For example, the violation of the FISA Act or the violation of the Agents Identity Act. But
well, and more recently, the Supreme Court ruled that he did break the law in his proposed handling of the detainees at Gitmo.
Yeah, let's come back to that because that's huge, and yeah, it's much bigger than just that. But it undercut most of the president's defenses for the unconstitutional actions he's taken.
Yes,
but
it is.
But the point I wanted to make is that most of his most serious crimes are not crimes that violate the law. They're crimes that violate the Constitution, that violate his oath of office, that are not things he could be put in jail for, but that are imminently grounds for his removal from office. And that would include the signing statements, mm-hmm, the violation of individuals' rights to habeas corpus, and also we should go into the area of criminal negligence, which is, I think, Elizabeth Holtzman's contribution to this whole issue was her conception of that.
All right, let's jump to a phone call, Dave, and then we'll continue. Dave and Salinas, join us here on the Peter B. Collins Show with journalist Dave Lindorf.
Well, good afternoon, and thanks for coming on, Dave. It's interesting having you on the program.
Thanks for calling in.
Hey, what I'd like to know is I believe that our government participated in the 9-1-1 attack. I mean, the evidence of a missile attack at the Pentagon and the deliberate demolition of three skyscrapers in New York is pretty overwhelming. And I'd just like to know, why is America and the journalistic community just totally ignoring these obvious pieces of evidence?
I have an interesting story on that because it was the one issue I ran into a stone wall with my publisher over. We have a chapter on 9/11, on impeachable crimes of 9/11, and when I wrote it, it was actually probably strategically a mistake, but it was the first chapter I wrote because I had just been doing some work on that, and I had uncovered and exposed in Counterpunch through my own reporting that the FBI actually has the four flight boxes from the World Trade Center, which, mm-hmm, a fact which they're denying, but I have sources in the National Transportation and Safety Administration who told me that, in fact, they were all found. So I had wanted to use that in the piece, in the book, and I also had wanted to use the fact that was reported in Bloomberg Financial Service, hardly a radical outfit, that the Alex Brown Investment Bank organization had placed puts for some clients, unidentified clients, which made an enormous amount of money by 1 week ahead of 9/11 by betting that United Airlines, American Airlines, Morgan Stanley, what was the other one? Goldman Sachs, mm-hmm, both of which had offices in the towers, were going to collapse, that their stocks were going to collapse. And, of course, they did. And the interesting thing about that was that the former head of Alex Brown, who left in 1998, went over to become the number three guy at the CIA. So clearly there was a link there between the top executives at Alex Brown and someone high up in the CIA, which raises a lot of questions that never got asked. So to make a long story short, I had written this into the piece, and the publishers at St. Martin's said, no, we're not going to do a chapter on 9/11. That'll have you linked with the kooks and conspiracy theorists, and it'll diminish the rest of the book. And I fought them really hard. It came down to a compromise in which they said if I implied pre-knowledge by the administration, they wouldn't publish the book if I demanded that that be in there. And I said if there wasn't a chapter about 9/11, I couldn't do the book. So we did a chapter in which I make the argument that the administration's deliberate stonewalling of not providing information about what it knew and how it responded to what it knew was in itself a crime of obstruction that approaches treason. And I was supported in that by Bob Graham, the former senator from Florida, who retired at the end of November 2002 after that election. But he had been the head of the Senate Intelligence Committee. And what he told me was that, you know, he agreed with that assessment and said that if he were a member of Congress, he would be introducing a bill of impeachment for the president for that obstruction, which was outrageous. You know, even there, in my own book on this, you see the pressure that comes out not to appear to be a kook. And then my own take on it is that I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I don't buy into a massive conspiracy by the government because I don't think it could be done. But I'm not immune to the notion that some people within the within the government knew, and for whatever reasons allowed it to happen. I think that's a possibility that should certainly be investigated and has not been.
Well,
because the administration won't give the information out.
Exactly. Well, all I can say is for a 911 fun fact, if according to page 305 of the report, the South Tower collapsed in 10 seconds. According to the laws of gravitational velocity and terminal velocity, an object can't fall any faster because of its mass, that if you stepped off the roof of the South Tower as it collapsed, it would have hit 3 seconds before you. And that's an absolute fact, and I can prove it.
Yeah, there's a lot of this stuff that you know, that people should read about, and I, you know, I commend people to it. I think that one of the advantages of an impeachment inquiry is if you go to the Nixon impeachment, you'll see that at the start of it, there was maybe 25% of Americans thought that the president should be impeached, and the vast majority didn't even like the idea. And as those hearings progressed, and as people like, you know, there were dual set of hearings. There was the Senate Watergate Select Committee and then the House Impeachment Committee.
Right.
And as those hearings progressed and people like John Dean and Ehrlichman and Kleindienst and L. Patrick Gray started coming forward and being put under oath against their will, you know, they were subpoenaed to appear, and some of them chose to tell the truth rather than risk going to jail, and the ugly truth about the Nixon administration came out. And I think, you know, had he not resigned, even more would have come out about the, you know, the planning of camps to arrest people, the planning for martial law. And it got shut down eventually because he resigned. But
Dave, I got to run to a break here. I'm running late here. We'll continue in just a moment with Dave Lindorf, the case for impeachment. Join us on the phone, toll-free, 888-579-2540. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, this is Stephanie Miller. You know how much I love the Monterey Peninsula. You've got it all. Mountains, the sea, some of the best box wine I've ever had. You also have a great radio station, KRXA, your progressive prescription. So join me, voice guy extraordinaire Jim Ward, and producer Chris Lavoie as we take back America every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m., right here on AM 540.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with its hot vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the Old Granary Building, just 2 blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale at a new time. Reality Radio can now be heard every Saturday afternoon from 4 to 5. So keep it right here, AM 540, for extraordinary progressive talk. Number one in reality radio, with me, Sheila Gale. There's nothing we won't talk about. See us Saturday, 4 to 5, Reality Radio, right here on AM 540 KRXA.
540 checks your traffic. It's 449, and we check in with Larry Olson, Metro Traffic.
A pair of problems in the Santa Cruz area, southbound Highway 1 at Morrissey Boulevard, two-car crash. It's been moved over to the right shoulder. Tow trucks have been dispatched. That should be wrapped up soon, but nevertheless, it's still there, southbound Highway 1 at Morrissey Boulevard. Southbound 17 at Highway 1, two-car crash, reportedly blocking some lanes. CHP on the scene. They're clearing that up. And in Prunedale, southbound 101 before Echo Valley Road, stalled van blocking one of the lanes, CHP conducting traffic controls while crews hook up the cars to a tow truck. Come into Sleep Train today and you'll sleep free till 2008 on approved credit when you purchase any premium mattress set. Sleep Train is your ticket to a better night's sleep. I'm Larry Olson with traffic on KRXA 540.
All right, Larry, thanks. We'll check back with you in about a half an hour. And Casey's got your traffic every weekday morning, 6 to 9 a.m. on The Stephanie Miller Show, right here on KRXA 540. And the Peter B. Collins Show continues, 10 minutes away from the hour. Just 1 year ago this week, we launched the Peter B. Collins Show on KRXA 540 in Monterey. And I want to thank all the new friends we've made in Monterey and Eureka, Sacramento, and Phoenix. To celebrate our first anniversary, we're giving away a case of fine Central Coast wine from select vintners in Monterey County and the Santa Cruz Mountains, courtesy of our friends at Monterey Bay Wine Company. If you'd like to enter, just drop me an email to peter@peterbcollins.com. Include your name, address, a daytime phone, indicate you're at least 21, and tell me your most memorable moment of the Peter B. Collins Show over the past year. One entry per person, please. And if you don't want to use email or you don't have it, send me an old-fashioned snail mail. Box 100, Mill Valley, California, 94942. The drawing will be on August 1st. And we welcome your comments and your entries there. Love to give you a nice case of Central Coast wine. We continue with Dave Lindorf. He is co-author with attorney Barbara Olshansky of this new book called The Case for Impeachment. And it's detailed, it's fascinating, gives you the history of the impeachment process, and also talks about the various issues related to this administration. Let's go to Tom in Hollister next. Hello, Tom. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Well, happy first anniversary, Peter B. Good to talk to you.
Thank you.
Hi, Tom.
Well, first of all, I really don't believe that the Republicans will lose the Congress in this upcoming election, but if they do, I frankly welcome these impeachment hearings. I mean, Nancy Pelosi, who is about as far left as I could possibly think, next to Mr. Conyers in any case, opposes impeachment. This will be one of the best circus acts that the country will have been entertained, and I really believe that this will bring in about 30 or 50 more years of Republican hegemony, and the Democrats can kiss ever getting any kind of power back goodbye. So I welcome impeachment, sir.
Well, I welcome it fundamentally as accountability, because with one-party rule, we have lost the oversight, the checks and balances that were intended in the framing of our government. But, Dave, talk about the weakness of the Democrats and their timidity on this issue. I believe that they've successfully been intimidated by Karl Rove, who has threatened to use impeachment as a way to rally his base to vote this November.
Yeah, I mean, basically, I think that people like Nancy Pelosi are idiots, and there's no other way to put it, because the polls are showing, first of all, Zogby and Ipsos, two respected pollsters, have found that on repeated pollings, a majority and growing number of Americans favor impeachment.
Right.
And in fact, they've also found that 80% of Democrats favor impeachment. Now, if you're a Democrat and you're a strategist, and you hear those numbers, the first thing you should think is, boy, if I'm looking for something to energize my voters and get them out to an election that normally has turnout of 35%, this is it. You know, if I tell them, you know, we're going to get rid of this sucker, or at least call him to account if you can get out there and vote and bring in a Democratic majority, boy, that should do it. You know, forget all the complexities about, you know, should we leave Iraq today or in 6 months or something. This is basic.
Yeah.
And in addition, there's another factor, which is it's the right thing to do. There shouldn't be a discussion about, you know, is it politically smart
expedient
for Democrats to be for impeachment. This president has committed crimes. Let's run down some of them. He's lied the Americans into a war that has killed 2,500 plus people as of now, grievously injured 20,000, all in a lie. He has committed war crimes, and that was the Hamdan decision. And they actually said that the president's in violation of the Geneva Convention, the Third Geneva Convention, which is a part of U.S. law, not a foreign law. It was written by mostly American lawyers back in 1949, mm-hmm. and it was incorporated into the U.S. Criminal Code. So the court has actually ruled 5-3 that he has violated the Third Geneva Convention. He's a war criminal.
And talk about that. By the way, Tom, thanks for your call. Let me drop you because we're hearing the noise from your cell phone in the car there. Dave, this is where I'd like you to give us a little more specificity. Does the Supreme Court ruling in Hamdan essentially give an impeachment panel a prefab conviction?
It absolutely does. Number one, for the war crimes, although I don't expect to see a president convicted of war crimes, even though he should be. He certainly won't be leaving the country after he leaves office because other countries could indict him for it. But the big thing that happened in Hamdan, which has not widely been reported in the press, is that the Supreme Court slapped down the president's basic justification for his having the right to declare prisoners of war not to be prisoners of war, and that was his argument that he is the commander-in-chief in time of war and he doesn't have to follow treaties, constitution, or anything else. And the judges all said, nonsense. The Constitution doesn't do that. You are subject to the Constitution and you have to obey the law. And that is the argument that the president's been using for a lot of the things he's done. He's said that because he's commander-in-chief, he can has this category of unitary executive where he can decide what the laws mean and decide what the laws are. That was his justification for invalidating 750 laws. Any Republican should be scared witless of letting that precedent stand because the next president could be Hillary Clinton, and then she could say, well, we're still in a state of war, and I don't have to obey the laws passed by Congress,
mm-hmm.
because he'll be setting the baseline. So the last caller, I mean, he seems to be unconcerned about this, but I'm terribly concerned, and I think many Republicans who are honest should be also.
Dave, just about a minute remaining. A guy named Jeffrey Feldman talks about framing and rhetoric. He runs a website, frameshopisopen.com.
Mm-hmm.
And he made the point that the average American thinks of impeachment in a very broad way. It means throw the bums out. They've screwed up and we got to get rid of them. And then there are people who are...
That's what elections are.
Okay. There are people who, you know, have a more narrow reading. They know that it involves the House of Representatives returning charges and a trial in the Senate. How do we get this to become a household cause and concern between now and November?
Well, I think the Center for Constitutional Rights is trying to do it with their July 19th hearings around the country, teach-ins. We're trying to do it with the book. I urge people to buy it and pass it around if it's too expensive for you to buy multiple copies. We're encouraging people to send copies to their Congress members. And people should be calling their Congress members. You know, people like Arlen Specter says, there doesn't seem to be much concern there about the NSA spying. There ought to be. People should be calling in. I hear it, but people don't bother to call their Congress people and say, hey, I don't like this.
Dave, I'm sorry, our time is up. I'd love to spend another hour with you. Dave Lindorf with two F's, The Case for Impeachment. It's a hardcover book out from St. Martin's Press and a must-read. Thanks for joining us, and thanks for your advocacy.
Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure. Peter B. Collins here, Free Speech Zone next. Call me, 831-899-5792, 888-579-2540.
Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey has everything you need, from high-end liquor to the very best in fine wines. It's the real deal. Family-owned for over 40 years, John will give you one-on-one personal attention, just like family. Have a special request? Not a problem. Open every day from 9 to 9. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is located on Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village, near the Del Monte Center. Look for Doug Huckleberry, who greets you at the door. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits wants you to please drink responsibly.
This is Ed Asner. When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggests that George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced phony news reports, imprisoned without charge, and tortured targeted civilians, and used illegal weapons. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor House Resolution 635 for an investigation.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. For the people of Haifa, Israel, it's a chilling sound. The air raid sirens go off anytime Hezbollah rockets fly. Dozens came Haifa's way today, and one destroyed a three-story apartment building. For its part, Israel continued its bombing campaign in Lebanon, and the prime minister vowed to keep it up. CBS News correspondent Dan Raviv reports from Tel Aviv.
There's no hint of compromise. Prime Minister Ehud Olmert told Parliament that the battle will continue with more sacrifices and pain, but it's necessary, he said, to fight for freedom and a normal life. He blamed the axis of evil, borrowing a phrase from President Bush, Iran, and Syria, for supporting terrorists. Olmert didn't seem at all open to a ceasefire until Hezbollah moves out of southern Lebanon near the border and releases two Israeli soldiers captured last week.
In Beirut, British military helicopters helped evacuate Westerners, including 64 Americans, to the island of Cyprus. But thousands of U.S. citizens might want to leave, so CBS News correspondent David Martin reports a large-scale evacuation is in the works.
The U.S. has now chartered at least one commercial vessel that could be used to carry about 750 passengers from Lebanon to Cyprus.
That vessel will have a U.S. destroyer escort. CBS News political correspondent Gloria Borger tells us the Senate is preparing to vote tomorrow on federal funding for embryonic stem cell research.
The most controversial measure will clearly pass, with lots of Republican votes, by the way. The great question now is whether there are enough votes to override a presidential veto in both houses, and the conventional wisdom right now is there is not.
President Bush is so opposed that he threatens to use his veto power for the first time since taking office. Writer Mickey Spillane, who created Mike Hammer, died today. He was 88. Spillane started writing detective novels in the 1940s as a way to earn some cash. There were 13 Mike Hammer books, and Reed Coleman of the Mystery Writers of America says Spillane parlayed his bestsellers into a multimedia career.
He was about the most successful in that sense. He had at least three movies made of his book, at least three, actually some of which he starred in, as Mike Hammer, which is very rare.
In the 1980s, Spillane played himself in a series of beer commercials. A violent day in Iraq, three American soldiers killed in separate attacks, and at least 50 Iraqi Shiites died when gunmen attacked an open market south of Baghdad with grenades and automatic weapons fire. Do you like your TV scrambled, poached, or fried? CBS Television will promote its fall season with messages on eggs sold in supermarkets. 35 million eggs will be imprinted with slogans like CSI, Crack the Case on CBS. The Dow up 8 points today. This is CBS News.
Where do you want to be?
I'll bet you a dollar if we look on Remax.com, we'll just find Remax listings.
I bet you're wrong.
Okay, let's see. Remax, Remax, somebody else, somebody else.
Looks like all the listings to me.
Why would Remax do that?
To give us consumers what we want.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, way cool.
Just like you.
Yeah, thanks, but you still owe me a dollar.
Find your perfect place. It's easier than ever at Remax.com. Nobody sells more real estate than Remax. Each office independently owned and operated.
somewhere between what a person is saying and what they're not saying, between what a person wants and what they need, lies understanding. For every client, everywhere, UBS has a distinct ability to listen, but more importantly, the commitment to understand. UBS, leader in wealth management, global asset management, and investment banking, and committed to a relationship we call You and Us. Member SIPC.
CBS News correspondent Peter King was on hand at the Kennedy Space Center as the astronauts of Shuttle Discovery returned from orbit.
The first thing they did was to take a walk around their spacecraft.
Just thank the folks at Kennedy Space Center for a really, really clean vehicle.
Discovery Commander Steve Lindsay.
This is my fourth flight, and I've done four walk-arounds, and I've never seen a vehicle that looked as clean as this one did.
NASA Administrator Michael Griffin was low-key after the landing.
As good a mission as we've ever flown.
He pledges NASA will not get overconfident as it prepares to resume regular space shuttle flights next month. Peter King, CBS News at the Kennedy Space Center.
On eastern Long Island today, a solemn ceremony marking the 10th anniversary of an airline tragedy. On July 17, 1996, TWA Flight 800, a jumbo jet with 230 people aboard, exploded over the Atlantic shortly after takeoff from Kennedy Airport. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Yes, I'm asleep. Aches and pains used to keep me up all the time, but now new Advil PM is changing all that. If I was awake, I'd leap for joy, but I'm not. I'm asleep. See, new Advil PM combines the multi-pain relieving power of Advil with a non-habit-forming sleep aid. Nothing's proven stronger on tough nighttime pain. I'd shout it from the hilltops, but I don't want to wake myself up.
New Advil PM. Stop hurting and start sleeping. Use only as directed.
There are infinite dynamics in business. For example, the $10 million saved is $10 million earned dynamic. Or the our month-end reports actually happen by the end of the month dynamic. Or the yes, I can forecast the revenue, no, I don't own a crystal ball dynamic. How do you manage these dynamics? Microsoft Dynamics. Software solutions that are specially designed to improve your customer relationship, financial, and supply chain management. To find out more, visit Microsoft.com/Microsoft Dynamics.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, and this is my favorite part of the program. It's the free speech zone where we take your calls, any subject, any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Call me! I'm ready. I'm steady. You go to the phone and dial. On the Central Coast, you know it's a local call at 899-KRXA. That's 899-5792. Elsewhere, including Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County, you can call me toll-free at 1-888-579-2540, 888-579-2540. Ready, steady, go! I'd love to hear from you if you think that impeachment is a wrong idea, either because you're a Democrat or a progressive and you think that it's some sort of a political suicide effort. Ready. Or maybe you're a moderate who just thinks impeachment is the wrong thing at this time. I'd like to hear your case. We heard the case for impeachment last hour, so you can make the case against it. 831-899-5792 or toll free 888-579-2540. You can also talk about the situation in the Middle East. We got two perspectives. Colonel Sam Gardner earlier today, the retired Air Force colonel, who talked about Iran's motives, the preemption that he thinks they have launched in authorizing their proxy Hezbollah to launch those rockets from southern Lebanon into Israel. We also got some facts from Chris Tonsing of the Middle East Report. He's going to be bringing us an update at the beginning of our second hour every day for the foreseeable future until we feel that the situation has calmed down or been resolved in a way that that's no longer necessary. And I really appreciate Chris's coverage, and I'm glad he'll be able to be with us. And we talked about impeachment, too. So those topics are up for grabs, and I'd like to hear from you today. There's one other story that I'd like to throw into the mix. There's a rich guy in Arizona who is tired of low voter turnout in elections. And this man, Mark Osterlo, age 53, led the drive to put a proposal on the November ballot in Arizona that would give voters a chance to win $1 million. He's turning elections into a lottery with odds far lower than any of the state lotteries currently available in the country. I don't know exactly how many people vote in Arizona, but you can figure it out, and your chances would be one in a couple hundred thousand, one in a million. Much better odds than Powerball or California Lotto or any of those games. And he says it's this simple. You go to the polls, you vote, I don't care who you vote for, what your party is. At the end of it, you fill out a form or you put your stub in a separate bin. And after the election, there will be a drawing, and one voter will win $1 million. Why does that seem like Austin Powers? $1 million just for voting. Now, on the face of it, I find this kind of attractive, because I think we should do everything we can to encourage people to turn out and vote. And you've heard me whining and crying and weeping and gnashing my teeth because California only produced a 30% turnout for our June primary, and Virginia had a 3.5% turnout for their contested Senate primary this year. But I'm not so crazy about this idea, because I think it would be a magnet for morons to come out and vote. And some morons have the good taste today, the good judgment, to skip the whole thing. And it harkens back to just a few years ago when a wrestler was elected governor of Minnesota. Yeah, I'm talking about Jesse Ventura. And by all accounts, he was a pretty lousy governor. Only lasted one term, and then he slunk back to the WWF. How did Jesse Ventura get elected? Well, in Minnesota, they permit same-day voter registration. You can go to the polling place, unregistered, fill out a form, and vote that same day. And that, of course, is a law that's designed to enhance participation as much as possible. And that's a worthwhile goal. But if we lower the standards and increase the rewards, do we have an informed democracy? Do we have an informed electorate that shows up to vote? Or do we have people who say, I'm just going to go vote so I can win $1 million, and gosh, who should I vote for? Maybe I'll watch some television commercials and figure it out. So that's my hang-up, and I want to throw this question to you. Do you think this is sensible? This man, Osterlo, did survive a legal challenge and got the initiative on the ballot in Arizona. But is this good policy? And will this produce a desired and desirable result? I'd like to hear from you. Lines available right now, Central Coast 899-5792, toll free 888-579-2540. Daniel in Santa Barbara, thanks for joining us on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome.
Well, you know what? I think this is a good idea.
Tell me why.
I really do, because, you know what, where I'm from, you got to wait in a line to vote. And people just aren't going to wait in lines to vote, you know, unless they have some kind of incentive. And you say that, yeah, there may be some morons who vote, but there's some moron Democrats, too, that are going to be voting on our side. And, you know, there's morons on both sides, but basically when you have...
No, but see, for me, Daniel, it's not a partisan issue. I don't see this as a way, you know, to win elections in a sneaky manner. I'm really looking at it from a policy point of view and what's best for the nation,
not just
winning an election for the Democrats once.
Right, but the best thing for the nation is to have as many people vote as you can. I mean, you look in Iraq and you got more people voting in Iraq than you have here, you know?
But Daniel, first of all, those elections in Iraq are pretty much a cruel hoax if you consider them democratic, because in the first round it was a referendum on a constitution that wasn't even finished, And then they elected people, but they didn't know who the candidates were.
Well, they can't read. They can't read.
No, it was too. It was too risky for the candidates to publicly campaign. So you know, I voted for number 419. So to say that Iraq is anywhere democratic or any kind of a model for us, that's misleading.
All right, but you can see that when you have under 50% of the people in a country voting, you know, you got a serious problem.
Oh yeah, we have minority rule, but if what it takes to get a majority is to put our weakest players on the field, is that what we want, Daniel?
I think anything that's going to encourage voting, you know, because once people get out and start voting, they're going to start to become interested.
But, Daniel, it's not that hard right now. All you've got to do is correctly fill out a postcard and mail it in, or you show up in all kinds of public places, including the post office. There's a form there. You fill it out. You don't even need to put a stamp on it.
Right, right.
Now,
what's the downside?
If we make it any easier than that, what are we going to get? What's going to be the quality of the vote?
I just don't think that in this country you can. I mean, some people say you should have a test before you can vote to make sure you're not, you know, you're not stupid.
No, that would be crossing a line. I don't want to create barriers to voting. My view is that we currently don't have serious barriers to voting. It's people who are registered who don't show up.
Yeah, but like I say, you know, there's some places you have to wait in line for an hour to vote. You know, it's harder in some places, and not everybody has what it takes to mail in a voting form, you know. So I think that this is a good thing. And I'd also like to mention, but we're talking about Iraq, it's kind of a different subject. But
sure, go ahead.
No one talks about the civilians that have died in Iraq. And we've killed over 20,000 civilians, Iraqi civilians over there.
Well, Bush has acknowledged at least 30,000, and independent surveys put the number at over 100,000.
Okay, well, there you go. And you don't hear that number being talked about. I mean, I know it's terrible, the number of U.S. soldiers died, but also we should talk about the number of Iraqis that have died. You know,
oh,
that's
I agree.
Significant too.
I agree, and we do mention them from time to time, but it's fair to say we don't do it every time. We operate from our own nationalist view, which is to talk about the loss of American life, the cost to American taxpayers. The price that Iraqis have paid is incalculable.
Yeah. Definitely.
Daniel, thanks a lot for your call. Good to hear from you. And I want to hear from others out there who agree with Daniel. If you think we should give people a cash reward or offer them a chance to win $1 million for doing their civic duty, for showing up to vote, and being informed, I'm not ready for that. And I do want participation to be as robust as possible. But if people come out to vote for president or senator or even a local county supervisor, and they do it only because they could win some cash? I don't know. I'm not ready for that. Maybe you can remember this, people who've been around the Bay Area a long time. There used to be a slimy stereo outlet called Matthews, Top of the Hill Daily City. The commercials were done by the owner, Stephen Matthew David. And his whole game was to go for the mooch. And he told me this one time. We were sitting around talking. I didn't find him a likable guy. But he said, hey, there are mooches out there, and you offer them free speakers or free installation on their car stereo. People will do almost anything when you offer them something free. And likewise, when you offer people $1 million for some behavior that they should do out of civic responsibility, out of citizenship, I don't know. I'm not ready to go there. But I'd like to hear your thoughts. Lines are open for you right now. Central Coast, 831-899-5792. Or call me toll-free, 1-888-579-2540. It's the Free Speech Zone right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and fun. I interview authors, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make the Monterey Bay Area such a delicious slice of our tasty planet. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Sponsored in part by Kitchen Studio.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day, 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
KRXA 540. It's 521. Here's the latest update on traffic from Larry Oldson.
Finally cleared up our accidents in Santa Cruz, southbound Highway 1 at Morrissey. Traffic is still heavy approaching the scene. Southbound 17 at Highway 1, that accident has wrapped up as well. Prunedale, Vieira Canyon at 101, two-car crash working on the right shoulder. Monterey, northbound Highway 1 at Casa Verde, a truck and a motorcycle have collided. They're now on the right shoulder. No injuries have been reported, but some delays could be expected. That's northbound Highway 1 right after Casa Verde Way. For the most part, 101, no major problems to report as you leave the 85 interchange in South San Jose down into Morgan Hill and eventually Gilroy. No major problems once again. J.D. Power & Associates has just named Tucson the highest-ranked compact multi-activity vehicle in initial quality. I'm Larry Olson with traffic on KRXA 540.
Yes, you are. And wow. That's an interesting little dance our traffic music just did. And now I don't know where we are on the clock, Joe, so we'll have to figure it out with some apologies to our other station. It's the Peter B. Collins Show, a heat wave on the left coast, and our computers are feeling a little fried today. Yes, in our unbelievable file of the moment, Vice President Dick Cheney is telling Republicans that they can run successfully in this year's midterm elections on the security front. Yeah, they've made us so safe that that's going to be the issue that wins the election this November? Hey, thanks, Dick. Why don't you go F yourself, huh? Sorry, I'm just thinking the way Bush and Cheney do after that disarmed moment when Tony Blair didn't realize that microphone was open until it was too late, and Bush let fly with the S word in reaction to a comment about the situation in the Middle East. We're taking your calls here in the Free Speech Zone. Should you be eligible to win $1 million just because you showed up to vote? Paula in Marina, join us on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter.
Hello, Paula.
You know, I think perhaps this character in Arizona who is, you know, he saw the problem, but his solution is a failure because, number one, people might just come in and make a token vote. It's not like they're really thinking about what they're voting for. It doesn't really add anything. But I'd really be interested in seeing what the statistics are on voter turnout, and if there was a sizable downturn after the last few elections where all of this fraud has taken place and the elections were stolen, because I suspect that there are people out there that have given up. And what we really need is we really need to get behind the efforts to eliminate the election fraud and the election theft that's going on so that people believe that their votes really do count. Because in the end, no matter what else is going on in our country, if we do not have solid, valid elections, we have no democracy. And there's no point in going abroad and fighting wars abroad for something that we no longer have at home.
Well, you're on to something very important. I do believe that there are people who, despite, you know, the close election in Florida that before we felt it was stolen, just appeared to be a really close election. And, you know, when you take out Florida 2000, Ohio 2004, it is fair to say that even if there were some fraud that benefited Republicans in other states, when you look at the national map, when you look at the allocation of seats in Congress and the Senate, yes, it has been very close, and Democrats actually have been on the losing side of elections where there wasn't a suggestion of fraud or other behaviors that manipulated the outcome. That said, I think there are many people who just think that the whole thing is fixed, kind of like professional wrestling and Jesse Ventura.
Sure. You know, the reason why I bring this up, too, is because in one of our local elections in Marina a few years ago, the mayoral race was lost by, I believe, about 62 votes. And during that election, the students at CSUMB had populated a special polling place. Tony Achindo allowed them to have another polling place out there. And they were misdirected by a poll worker who was later seen or later known to have been wearing one of the winning candidate's political buttons.
Mm-hmm.
And that person shuffled a lot of these students off to another polling place where they were only allowed to cast provisional ballots. And I actually went through and did a survey myself and found that there were perhaps 90-some more votes for the candidate who lost. And frankly, I think that this was election fraud. And so when I called and talked to those students, they were just like, you know, they thought, well, it's pointless. You know, mm-hmm. It's pointless to keep voting if this is going to happen. So I think that what we need to do is we need to get right back on track with making sure that we have honest elections, elections that are not stolen, and that's what makes the difference. On sort of a related subject, if I can take a minute, I wanted to go back to something that was being talked about a week or so ago, Ned Lamont and Joe Lieberman.
Right.
And, you know, the criticism of Ned Lamont, that it's a one-issue thing, and you know, Joe Lieberman votes the right way 90% of the time. Well, that's an absurd statement because I don't even understand the logic of that. Somebody could be telling the truth 90% of the time, but lying 10% of the time about some really important things. So percentages really aren't relevant in that. But
no, it's just political spin.
Right. And
and Lamont is not a single-issue candidate. He is capitalizing on the most important high-priority issue, but he's got positions on a lot of important issues like single-payer health care. So
exactly.
It's a false charge.
And it goes deeper than that because to suggest that Iraq is a single issue is absurd. Number one, the object, as stated by some terrorists in the world, is to bring down the country economically. Well, they've done that in many, many ways. That's already happened because, you know, this administration has sunk us deeply in a hole paying for this war. and most of that money, or a substantial part of that, going into the pockets of his corporate friends.
Mm-hmm.
And so, in that sense, that war has already been lost. And this administration has actually compromised our national security by weakening us so economically.
Well
so
said, Paula. I'm out of time. Thank you for your call today. More calls coming up next in the Free Speed Zone, 888-579-2540, 831-899-5792. And I kind of feel it, a panic attack coming on.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview nationally known writers, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty new shows. Sponsored by the Monterey County Vintners and Growers Association's 14th Annual Winemaker Celebration on August 12th from noon until 4 p.m. For more information, go to the web at montereywines.org.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
"We're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service."
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
Tired of stale syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching these shows. Oh, O'Reilly!
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh local liberal blowhard.
And another thing, Coach, you could strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal on the show every morning from 9 to 10, only on KRXA 540. Down in
Hey, it's Sheila Gale. At a new time, reality radio can now be heard every Saturday afternoon from 4 to 5. So keep it right here, AM 540, for extraordinary progressive talk, number one in reality radio. With me, Sheila Gale, there's nothing we won't talk about. See us Saturday, 4 to 5, reality radio right here on AM 540 KRXA.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. We're in the thick of the free speech zone today, and your calls and comments are welcome. You know the game. Any subject, any point of view, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Is that free speech or what? 831-899-5792. Toll free, 888-579-2540. And starting next week, we have a new simplified toll-free number that we'll be giving you for the Peter B. Collins Show. Get ready to reprogram your phone. And more of your calls in just a moment, but first, I'd like to give away a case of wine because we're celebrating our first anniversary. It was 1 year ago this week that we launched the Peter B. Collins Show on KRXA 540 in Monterey. The studio was not complete. The air conditioning didn't work. But we soldiered on, and over the past year, we've made many new friends as we've grown. We're now on in four great cities here in the West and ready to ooze eastward. Now, to celebrate our first anniversary, we're giving away a case of fine Central Coast wine from select vintners in Monterey County in the Santa Cruz Mountains, courtesy of our friends at Monterey Bay Wine Company. To enter, just drop me an email, peter@peterbcollins.com. There are other options, too, himself at peterbcollins.com. There are a bunch of them there that work. Include your name, address, daytime phone, indicate that you're at least 21 so I don't get popped, and tell me your most memorable moment of the Peter B. Collins Show over the past year. If you can limit it to just one, you can give me multiples if you'd like. One entry per person, please. And if you don't have email, we're not going to discriminate. Send me an old-fashioned snail mail to Box 100, Mill Valley, California, 94942. That's easy. Box 100, Mill Valley, 94942. We'll hold the drawing and announce the winner on August 1st. Let's go to Chris in Salinas. Thanks for holding, Chris. You're on the air on the Peter B. Show.
Hello, Peter.
How you doing?
I find that going to the polls to win the lotto to vote is absolutely ridiculous.
I agree with you, Chris.
I feel that you're right when people seem to think that it's fixed or their vote doesn't count. But I really believe that if we go to publicly funded campaigns and drive home the fact that the people, the taxpayers, are now funding this and that the elected representatives are actually beholden to us, will increase voter turnout. I truly believe that, and I really hope people will vote for that initiative here in California coming up in November.
Well, you've heard the phrase, we want people to go to vote in the worst possible way, and I think offering $1 million just for people to show up to vote is the worst possible way to get them to vote. It's a worthwhile goal, but I think that it motivates people for the wrong reasons and brings out people who are not, I don't want to use the word qualified, because anybody who's registered should vote. But I want people who have done at least a little homework and who aren't just there thinking that they're going to scratch and win and do, their civic duty in a way that cheapens it. I just don't think that's the right approach.
Yeah, you really have to educate yourself on the candidates. I've been myself have not looked into the candidates and found out that I had made mistakes in the past. And now I really do try to research where they stand on a lot of different issues before I vote for them.
Well, and I don't know about you, but when I get down to those races that I really don't know the players, like the community college district or a hospital district or a sanitary district, I would rather not vote than just blindly, check off a name. I think that's less responsible.
Yeah, I think the judges are probably one of the most scary thing is when you just pick a judge, say, oh, his name sounds good, and I'll
right.
vote for him.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Chris, anything else on your mind?
No, just keep up the good work, Peter.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate your call today. Yes, a panic attack's coming on. Tommy Panic, our low-budget undercover investigative reporter, checks in. Tommy, where have you been?
Oh, Peter, I've been all over the place. I've been out of the country, but I've spent the last 10 days or so down in Cuba.
No kidding.
Yeah, and not the part that's stuck in the 50s. I was at Gitmo.
Wait a minute. You got Gitmoized?
I was living in a dog kennel down there for about 10 days. It was an interesting experience. Let me give you the origins of the whole thing. I was following the president, and I was doing a little undercover story on just how much taxpayer money gets spent on the security detail as number 43 just travels about, going here, there, all over the place.
Yeah.
And I met up in Chicago with the presidential party, and in a steakhouse, I was outed. I was discovered. They realized they had Tommy Panic, and they were most curious about how I travel, being on the no-fly list, able to maneuver all about the country and the world via the FedEx, DHL, things like that. They wanted the intricacies of that.
Was this an encounter in a men's room with Secret Service agents?
That was the origins of it. I go in there, I got amazing security detail. You've got guys on roofs with guns. You've got guys with dogs sniffing around for explosives, understandable. There's a man there to watch as the president's food is prepared. He did have the filet Oscar, by the way. The filet with the, you got the Dungeness crab on top, and I believe there's a demi-tasse. I'm not exactly sure, but that is what he had. Somebody tasted the food before he ate it. Just phenomenal. And yes, I'm in the men's room, and there is a large man in a suit with an earpiece next to me as I try to, I've had a couple of cocktails beforehand, so you understand what I'm doing in there.
Sure.
And I had a little stage fright standing there.
A little performance anxiety?
A little bit. And he left, and I was relieved, but then another one came in, and then they started looking at me kind of funny, scrutinizing my appearance, my very move, and before I could enjoy my filet, I was whisked away quite quickly, and the next thing I know, I don't know if I was shot with something or what, but the next thing I know, I'm down there. I'm down there where they keep the Afghanis.
Really? So you were rendered. They call that extraordinary rendition. But you were rendered to Gitmo. Now, did they use one of those Gulfstream jets leased by the Navy?
You know, I have no clue. I can only imagine how I went from one moment being in a fairly renowned place of red meat in Chicago, you know, if you're into that sort of thing, which of course I am,
right,
to being in a dog kennel in Cuba.
Mm.
Very interesting, but I am quite relieved to have been released.
Now, how did you get out of Gitmo? Was it the Supreme Court decision?
No, they decided to just let me go. They wanted to know about the travel while being on the no-fly list, and
right,
they surprisingly had quite a extensive dossier on me, which I hate to break it to you, it included you as well. There, my work on the Peter B. Collins show, well documented by the government. So they
I can feel it. It was the coverage of the Cheney shooting event that you
that
did
didn't
so
help.
Well.
Yeah. That didn't help. So if you weren't sure, Peter, the answer is yes. They are listening to you.
Okay. that's a dubious honor, and I'll see just how I'm going to process that. Well, let me just ask, are you okay? Do you need a lawyer? You know, we've got friends at the Center for Constitutional Rights who defend all the detainees at Gitmo.
I think I'll just let it go. I'm, a little disappointed I wasn't able to finish my red meat in Chicago, and that's kind of what I'm focused on right now. I'm just going to go and enjoy some red meat.
Get the man a steak. All right, Tommy. Well, that's a harrowing story, but I'm glad you're back on U.S. soil and a free man.
Glad to share the tale with you, Peter.
All right. That's our man, Tommy Panic, the Peter B. Collins Show in-depth undercover low-budget investigative reporter. Believe it or not. Steve in Watsonville, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're in the free speech zone, Steve.
Thanks, Peter. That's a tough act to follow because I was going to slam our Secretary of State, Lisa Kondo.
Uh-huh. Yes. Who
that,
formerly had a Chevron oil tanker named for her, as you may know.
Right, right. Now, she was a talking head, you know, yesterday, and the big word that was attached to her was grotesque. Now, I don't know if you're a child of the 80s or not, but you remember the word grody?
Yes, I do.
Now, you want grody to the max, you go look up Escondi's bio on Wikipedia. You
okay.
know, this is fair and balanced. I mean, you know, like, it's tamper-proof. They're really not trying to, you know, grind any axes in Wikipedia.
Mm-hmm.
Every single picture of her could only be described as grotesque.
All right, well, if you don't mind, I'm online right now. Let me just hit the Command-L, and we go to Wikipedia. Is it .org? Or
.com? Yeah, .com, I think.
All right, let's see. It's org, but it has a mirror on .com.
Yeah.
So we're loading Wikipedia, and I'd like English, thank you. Press 1. And
I take it you're on a Windows system.
Oh, no, this is on my Mac. I have one of each here.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, you got to go through Holt.
The Windows is down today because the AAA batteries in my wireless mouse went out 10 minutes into the show today.
Well, and plus,
and I'm sorry to report that I don't have backups here.
You've got that extra file that has to go all the way to NSA and back, you know.
Oh, they handle that for me.
Takes so long.
All right, so I'm searching for Condoleezza Rice, and I even spelled it right. And this, interesting. This page is currently protected from editing until disputes have been resolved.
Right.
So she can't have her assistants go in here and sanitize any unflattering information. And likewise,
her enemies cannot go in there and just, you know, put blatant slander out.
Right. So what should I find here that you think is fascinating?
Just the pictures. Every single picture ever is like, you know, is this supposed to be the, you know, the somebody that can actually compete with Laura Bush for the heart of you know who?
Oh, this is a cute one. She is sitting here with her legs crossed in a kind of above the knee skirt.
Yeah.
It says Condoleezza Rice during a 2005 interview on ITV in London.
I mean, she's not married, is she?
No, she is not.
Do you have to wonder why?
Oh, gosh. See, as a progressive, I don't really go there. If I were a conservative, you know, I would raise questions about her sexuality. I would infer that she's sleeping with the president, that she's a threat to Laura Bush. But I'm just such a nice guy. I don't want to invade her privacy.
Right, right. Oh, well, we wouldn't want to do that. Because that's the kind of thing Karl Rove would do, isn't it?
Yes, you're right. I just want to think of myself as slightly better, only a little. You know, I don't have unattainable goals here.
right. Well, of course, then again, he's got the power.
Yeah. All right, Steve. Thank you for the Wikipedia moment. Great to hear from you today. That leaves a line open for you in the free speech zone. You can call me toll-free at 888-579-2540, or you can call on the Central Coast line, 831-899-5792. Join us here in the free speech zone on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hello, this is Al Moore with More Imported Cars in Monterey, where we feature quality pre-owned motor cars. It has been said that the world's best automobiles are manufactured within sight of the Alps. They include Mercedes-Benz, BMWs, and Porsches. These are the marks of dreams, and they're the manufacturers we specialize in. Some of our European autos start as low as $21,000 and experience very little depreciation. In fact, many of our Porsches actually increase in value, and our Porsches and other German autos have surprisingly good gas mileage too. Many of our autos are covered under manufacturer's warranty or are available with short or long-term service agreements. We also can arrange financing, and we do accept trades.
Drop by More Imported Cars, 999 Del Monte Avenue in Monterey, or browse to moreimports.com. That's M-O-H-R imports.com. Call Al Moore at 831-373-3131.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
KRXA 540 checks traffic. Now it's 548. We get the latest from Metro Traffic's Larry Olson.
Good afternoon, Peter. We'll have one major problem. We'll start in Watsonville, Highway 1 at Struve Slow. It's a two-car crash. That's working its way on the right shoulder. No major problems to report to you on Highway 1 South as you head from the 85 interchange. into Morgan Hill and eventually down through Gilroy and Salinas. No major problems to report at this particular moment. 17 looking good as you make your way through the Lexington Reservoir. Gets it a little slow as you work your way up towards the summit or so. 25, no major problems to report between Gilroy and Hollister as well. Refinance today and lock in now at LendingTree before interest rates go up any further. When banks compete, you win. See website or call for licensing equal housing opportunity. I'm Larry Olson on AM KRXA 540. I'm sorry, I forgot where I was for a second.
Good job, Larry. This is the Peter B. Collins Show, live from the Left Coast. We're taking your calls in the Free Speech Zone. 888-579-2540 is my number. Don't believe me about each other. Not a word if this is true. Don't believe me about. And it is time for the fictional portion of our broadcast day as we bring you the lighthearted dispatch from Andy Borowitz at BorowitzReport.com. And it's tough when people are dying in the Middle East. Maybe a little hard to have a laugh, but indulge me for a moment. Don't believe a word. The headline reads, Bush says roadmap to peace is still in glove compartment of peace. But President acknowledges difficulty of unfolding and refolding the map. Lashing out at critics who have claimed that the so-called roadmap to peace is in tatters, President George W. Bush said today that the roadmap is in excellent condition and has been safely stowed in the glove compartment of peace. I know where the roadmap to peace is because it's exactly where I left it, Bush said at the G8 summit in St. Petersburg. It's in the glove compartment of peace, and it will remain there for safekeeping. Bush's words about the roadmap of peace did little to comfort members of the European press corps, many of whom demanded to know the precise location of the glove compartment of peace. The glove compartment of peace, Bush responded, is in my Ford Explorer of peace. While insisting that the roadmap to peace was in fact out of harm's way in the glove compartment of peace, Mr. Bush acknowledged that the roadmap should only be removed from the glove compartment of peace with great caution. Once you've unfolded the roadmap to peace, it's very tricky to refold it, he said. Condi's pretty good at it, but even she has a hard time every now and then. In his concluding remarks, Mr. Bush denied that the roadmap to peace was outmoded and turned a deaf ear to the G8's call for a GPS system of peace. That's the Borowitz Report for today. You can find it online at BorowitzReport.com. Lines available if you'd like to talk with us, 831-899-5792 or toll-free 888-579-2540. Donna in Big Sur, you're next. Go right ahead.
Well, hi, Peter B.
Hello.
I'm just out here listening away as usual.
I'm glad.
But I actually had kind of I'll put it as kind of a question. I think your analysis of situations is so remarkable, so I'll put it like a question, then I'll go offline to hear what you have to say.
All right.
But historically speaking, I'm looking back at, you know, when when the government decided that Saddam Hussein had to go, and so they got him out of the way, and it kind of unleashed, I would say, a bit of Pandora's box in the Mideast as far as the sectarian, you know, groups that he had kept from totally destroying each other,
right.
And he kept oil going and electricity going, and
it disturbed the balance of terror,
yes.
That had at least been keeping a status quo for
exactly.
The most part.
And then we move on now, and now we're into Lebanon, and this is where I have the question because I can't quite remember what government decided that. The Syrian soldiers must leave the border where they were protecting the Hezbollah from fighting and shooting at Israel, and so somehow that army got forced out and back into Syria, which it seemed to me unleashed the power of the Hezbollah somehow. And
well, let's retrace some of this. And go ahead and stay on the line, Donna, because
okay.
You might have a follow-up.
Okay.
If you recall, a year and a half ago, I believe it was in January, the leader of Lebanon, Rafik Hariri, was assassinated.
Okay.
And it took a little time to sort through and investigate, but it became clear that Syria assassinated him.
All right.
And that produced a reaction. Yeah, Joe, just fade the phone down a little bit. That's where the echo's coming from. That produced a reaction in the streets of Lebanon, And it caused the withdrawal of the Syrian forces that had been occupying Lebanon for some time. And so that produced a shift in the domestic politics of Lebanon. And in forgive me, because I don't consider myself a deep expert on this, but I think I know the accurate facts here. What occurred after that was that the void was filled by Hezbollah,
okay,
which moved into the kind of role that Hamas has been playing in Palestine. These are revolutionary groups that have tried to move into the political arena, and part of it was the idea was advanced by the United States, which is that if people have an investment in the political process, they are less likely to use arms and suicide bombers and, you know, those sorts of tactics. That's behind the idea of political buy-in in Iraq. And so what did occur was Hezbollah took a role in the government. It's a minority role, but there is an awkward situation there where they have their own militias. They have the rockets that you now know are screaming across the border that they share with Israel into Haifa and its suburbs. And there is an uneasy relationship between the more moderate government of Lebanon and the Hezbollah faction. But they're not really able to just say, you know, Hezbollah, you're not welcome here, because Hezbollah has very strong support among many, not all, and not even a majority from what I know, but many Lebanese. And in addition, they are very well financed. And if you remember the way the Black Panther Party operated in this country,
oh, yeah,
they didn't limit themselves to revolutionary politics. They ran preschools and food programs and other social services.
Right.
Well, Hezbollah, according to some accounts, gets about $200 million a year from Iran. And some of that money goes into social programs, running schools and hospitals, the kinds of services that the central government is not fully able to provide. And so they have roots in you know, both Hezbollah in Lebanon and Syria and Hamas in the Palestinian territories. They have roots that I think will make it very difficult for Israel to achieve the goal of eliminating or marginalizing them in a significant way. And in fact, I fear that Israel's heavy-handed reaction is going to cement these revolutionary groups and cause moderates to coalesce with them instead of doing what Israel wants, is that moderates will squeeze them out. And so my thing is this, the unintended consequences of Israeli actions is that they're going to get the opposite of what they hope to achieve. And I don't think the Israelis are that dumb. And so I think they've decided that no matter what the cost is, they are going to move to try to limit the role of Hamas and Hezbollah in their respective areas. And that's my attempt to answer your question. How did I do?
That's an amazing answer. And my final statement before I hang up will be, don't you think probably destabilization of the Middle East has been a goal of, shall we say, many factions?
Including PNAC and key players in the Bush administration,
yes.
I think that, well, I suspect at this point that Bush has communicated with Israel, and similar to the way we tipped our hand to Saddam Hussein when Donald Rumsfeld went there in 1984,
yes,
I think we've told Israel what we will and won't tolerate, and we've sent clear messages that they have taken to see as tacit or even greater approval for the steps that they've taken.
Well, it's a travesty, isn't it?
It certainly is, yeah.
Anyway, nice to talk with you.
Thanks a lot for your call today.
Yes.
I really appreciate it. I'd like to recommend to you a trip to truthout.org. Rabbi Michael Lerner, who has written a powerful new book called The Left Hand of God about progressives and religion, has a piece up there called End the Suffering in the Middle East, and I hope next time you have a chance when you're online, you'll stop in there and take a look at it. Also, I'd like you to visit my website or just send an email, peter@peterbcollins.com, and include your name, address, daytime, phone, indicate you're at least 21, and you'll qualify for the drawing on August 1st for a case of Central Coast wine as we celebrate our first anniversary of the Peter B. Collins Show. And due to my technical difficulties, the Windows machine with the wireless mouse with the dead batteries, I am unable to present Roy Rogers and Happy Trails today. But hopefully Roy will be back tomorrow. I know I will be, so I hope you'll join me same time, same stations. And log on to peterbcollins.com if you want more information. Have a great evening, and thanks for listening. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Lebanese authorities say at least 210 people have been killed since the Israeli attacks began last week. The airstrikes continue as Hezbollah fires more missiles across the border into Israel. CBS News correspondent Lara Logan reports from Haifa.
The wail of air raid sirens signaled another attack, forcing people to take cover once again. Among those crouching against the wall, Haifa's mayor. The volley of explosions had barely faded as police and emergency workers rushed to the scene of the latest attack. This time it was an apartment building, the top floors torn apart by the force of the blast. Smoke still rising into the air as the very first casualties were taken away to safety.
Israel says one of its strikes in Lebanon destroyed a long-range Iranian missile capable of reaching Tel Aviv. CBS News correspondent Dan Raviv reports Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert made a determined speech to Parliament today.
Olmert said the battle will go on, though it may be painful and will have more casualties. But he told the Knesset, the Parliament, that Israel will win because there are times in the life of a nation when it has to say no more. He said Israel cannot tolerate being hit by missiles and seeing its soldiers kidnapped.
Diplomacy to resolve the crisis is in high gear now. State Department spokesman Nick Byrne says Condoleezza Rice is getting personally involved.
Secretary Rice has decided and the President has asked her to go to the Middle East. It'll be quite soon.
British Prime Minister Tony Blair has joined UN Secretary General Kofi Annan in calling for an international force to keep Hezbollah from using southern Lebanon as a base for its attacks on Israel. The death toll is rising in Java, Indonesia, where a 6-foot tsunami swept ashore today. Local authorities now confirm at least 110 dead, with scores of people missing. The big wave resulted from a powerful undersea earthquake. Looks like a big job to fix the big dig in the Boston Highway Tunnel, where a woman was killed by falling concrete last week. Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney says tests on the bolt assemblies that hold the heavy ceiling panels show more than 1,100 of them need to be replaced.
We're really not focusing on why it failed. What we've noted is that in grabbing a hold of these bolts and pulling on them with excess force, they're letting go a lot earlier than they should have. And when I say earlier, they're letting go at lower pressures.